And 1, 2, 3, everyone, here we go. It's time to dance.
And where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, 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 it's time. We all come together. Aha! Walk for one.
If we can be
walk for one.
For playing that for me. Welcome, everybody, to the Galactic Roundtable call. I'm excited tonight. It's been a very busy day again, and we are going to talk more tonight about becoming Washita. We are also going to talk about the goddess and how that's returning now in our divine quest to return to love. And I'd like to start with the hard news.
My fur and whiskers. I'm late for a very important day. I gotta follow that white rabbit up the hall. And that white rabbit has the tale to tell right now. Oh, my God.
You're listening. You've got all ears.
I'm just going to say, you know, this is a plug for Alice. Go see Alice in Wonderland if you haven't already. I mean, Johnny Depp is the Mad Hatter, and he's a genius.
Yeah.
He is a genius.
He's a genius, he is. And this story, Alice in Wonderland, how they did this movie, is teaching our children the story that we talk about on this call.
It is the story of dimensional rifts.
Uh-huh.
Healed right now on all levels, and well, I've been many different places, you could say.
It's been quite a day.
Yeah. And in the last day or two, I got to talk to Stephanie Miller and oh my, the Tom the Ring-Tailed Cat, along with Larry Curly and Moe and Rana Moo. And today I did something really wild where I just went to Rana Moo's office and I sort of lost it from, you know, the night work that we all, whether we remember it or not.
We're all there.
We're all there, and we're helping deal with the that which is called the physical death, yet not the spiritual, because there is no spiritual death. And it's been in Baghdad, and it's not pretty. And I'll just say that the issues going on between Mr. Alawi and Mr. Maliki, this is an issue that has to do with ideologies that are playing both sides, and it's called Sharia law versus Shia versus Sunni. And all these people are one people, the descendants of the Anunnaki, and not all Anunnaki were aligned with the energies of Jehovah, Lilith, and Lucifer. It was just part of the divine Leela where things went a little wonky and folks are waking up from the dream of the holodeck program and elbowing each other awake. And you could say that it's like being in an elevator and you're all waking up at once and you're going,
oh my God,
Scotty, it's time to beam us out of here. And,
God. If you think Scotty's going to save you now, you got another thing coming.
Really?
That's what Erica Badu says. Scotty, beam me out of here.
I know.
And the story is that what is happening is all of the strands called the Great Unraveling of this holographic program that's been in place for 26,826 years is falling apart at the seams. And now this falsely elected leader who sits in the chair of Peter, who doesn't even represent Peter or the office of the Christ on any level, is being exposed for what's occurring, and love them even more. These are very ancient beings, and they are reptilian, they are bird people, they're lion people, they're every imaginable kind of life form, and then some. All the movies out there telling the truth about our galactic heritage in one way or another. And the final story of what's happening is they're getting all exposed before our very eyes, and it's happening on mainstream TV in spite of the five corporations owning the mainstream TV. They are actually shape-shifting on TV. It's on YouTube, and, you know, some of it You have to discern with your own consciousness what is and what isn't. Yet all the players are here in this passion play, and we're healing it for each other right now. This is why it's up for everyone. The ascension frequencies are increasing even further at 13 hertz. Man, is it hot in the kitchen? Because Earth Mother's, you know, the Schumann resonance, as we approach 13 hertz, 0 point, things are really going to get interesting. And it has to do with the healing on all levels, because Earth is returning to a pristine state, just like Pandora, just like it was on Nibiru. And we can live in cooperation, in love and peace, freedom and justice. I lost it today a bit when I went to Rana Mood's office, and I just parked in front of her office and sort of walked in with a chip on my shoulder. Because I am tired of looking at dead bodies every night and watching women with veils on crying in their hands, sobbing until they just cannot move anymore because, you know, they don't have any energy to cry anymore, and it's not bringing their children back.
And if you're feeling, as anyone is feeling deeply going through something in the physical body, remember we're all one.
We're all one.
And this is really deep, everyone. This is as deep as it goes.
And I went to Ranamu, and I sort of lost it there and started sobbing and talking about this. And she said, and she just happened to, as I walked in, that she was talking with Larry, Curly, and Mo and dealing with the issues of the day concerning Iran and China and the U.S. and all of the fake stories out there dealing with nukes and sanctions, and all of this is a holodeck program, still and yet. And I walked in and sat down, and I just, you know, said, Commander, ma'am, reporting for duty. I am recruiting myself for Starfleet Academy today, and I need to be given back my rank in all of the things that go with that to get the mission here. And she said, just a minute, sir, I want to show you something. And she went over to this wall and touched the screen, and the screen began to pull away, almost like egg whites, really sticky, gooey. And then the screen changed, and we were looking at a scene in downtown Baghdad, and she walked into the screen, and she walked across the street and went and touched this little boy, Iraqi boy, that was about 5. And he looked up at her, and he started laughing. And I mean, it was, like, really joyful. And he asked her in Arabic, are you an angel? Mm-hmm. And she said, yes. And she said, please do not worry. Things are about to shift on this planet. And he went and told some other people what was going on. And then she walked back across the street through a wall and then walked back into the office. And I'm sitting there with my jaw on the floor. And I was saying, oh, okay, so does this mean that the portals are opening all across the planet? And she goes, ditto. And what is happening is that this is going on in many different locations. And it has to do with the light frequencies coming in at such an exponential rate. And at the same time, its frequencies of living light, living love that the dark can't use. And what is being asked of them is to work with the understanding at this point that we are returning back to love no matter what. It is the highest order of business. The planet is returning. It is in your best interest to do the same. And it is already occurring where Medea Benjamin showed up with the handcuffs swinging in the breeze and Karl Rove was screaming to get her away from me. And it next time he shows up somewhere, it may be a man. And let's just say that, you know, the goons can only last so long. The holodeck program can last just so long. Even today on NPR, I heard a story about how the ICC and the ICJ are nailing people in Kenya for war crimes, and they said it on our NPR.
You mean people that are not from Kenya?
People that are from Kenya that are doing war crimes that have, in the next moment, they are going to be picked up and cuffed and stuffed. And they brought it up and they said, David Ray Griffin has been talking about 9/11 out there for 2 days now. Cheney and Bush are next. And I have to give it up in even more love in the understanding here that this is about 9/11 and the war crimes that have gone on since, you know, JFK supposedly left the planet. And here we got this lady, you know, from Mother Africa singing, laying it out in lavender, talking about the goddess and saying, it's time.
Which lady?
I forgot her name now, Beth.
Say that, repeat the last few words one more time.
The lady you have on the Galactic Roundtable that is talking about the goddess and talking about JFK.
Erica Badu.
Yes. These stories are in story, in dance, in myth, in song, in legend. It is all coming forward. All of the, her story, his story, it has to do with the healing that occurs right now for every life form that volunteered to come in here and say, yes, we can.
Well, it also means that the shift to the divine feminine is being anchored for sure. And there's no turning back on that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about, let people know. A lot of people don't know about this video that Erica did.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, Erica pulls up in a car. She is a soul R&B star. She's a full-fledged star. So if you don't know who she is, you're not listening to rhythm and blues music. But she's very well known. And Erica she's a beautiful young woman, and she pulls up. She was originally born in the United States in Dallas. She's a Dallas citizen from birth, and she pulls up in this car in a music video, an old car, and it's talking about the day JFK died. And she parks the car and gets out, and she walks down the street on Daly Plaza, and the camera spans around the area and shows the book depository building and the area around there. And as she walks down the street, she takes off her jacket, her sweatshirt, her shirt, her bra, and she keeps walking. She throws her shoes away. She takes off her pants. She takes off her pants, then her bra, then her underwear. And she filmed this live in Daly Plaza in Dallas. And had the police been there, she would have been arrested. And they managed to get this in one cut, and they were done. And there were people on the street watching her and the video camera, kind of stunned, and she just did her thing. And she sings this song, and in the song she says, If you see Scotty out there, tell him to beam me up. And this is an awake and aware starseed who knows that John F. Kennedy did not die that day. He's on the ships and he's coming back. But the message from the song is this. The goddess has been removed from our government. The goddess has been removed from our society. Woman is not recognized in our society. And she is saying, when she's taking off her clothes, look at me. I am woman. Invite me back. Invite me back into what you're doing here. And at the end of the song, a shot rings out, and she's completely naked. And there's black letters on her back saying that say evolving. And she, a shot rings out. She falls to the ground. She's literally in Dallas, completely naked on the street, on the cement. She's playing dead. In the music video, they, you know, smeared out the body parts so it wasn't graphic. But, okay, she's laying dead on the cement. And then this goddess with braids and gold beads all through her hair, with long hair, looking just like Mother Sekhmet, walks out, and Erykah Badu's voice is speaking, and she says, I am inviting you to evolve. I'm inviting you, beautiful goddess, to come forward now. And she's asking women to remember that they are goddess. They are divine mother. And this is returning to love now. And if you haven't seen the music video, you may not, because it's been pulled from YouTube. I had it on since very early this morning, so many of you did look at it. So I just wanted to share that this performance artist is bringing out the story that was brought to us by Ashtar, and this is not any kind of a mistake. She is announcing disclosure in her own way and reminding us that the main part of all of it is that we are returning to understanding what it means to be divine feminine. So if you missed the video, that's what that's all about.
I wanted to just pull something that was in the hard news here.
Yeah.
And it's about Germany. Where did the magnifying glass go? There. It's about...
If anybody wants to share hard news with us, you can feel free to call in. The number is 415-762-1161.
I think we should, yeah, cover this because remember the German, what's it called, the Pan-German Alliance was never, that was just window dressing, you know?
Right.
And Rama, did you talk to anybody in the last few days about that with Barack Obama?
Good.
To sign and a treaty form, is that what it is, a treaty?
My understanding about this is that still and yet nobody will talk about this, and I guess I will, in the sense that I know Astar and Sananda will be showing up momentarily, since they represent the most human looking of the galactic folks that, you know, since people have an issue with tails and aliens on this planet, since, you know, xenophobia has been the word of the day, and, you know, only Karl Rove can freak and peek and, you know, a few others.
Mike Steele can.
Michael Steele?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He freaks and peeks, and so do a bunch of them.
I know, and it's interesting. Michael Steele was not at the Leather Club, although his cronies were. And the way Stephanie Miller was describing this today in all seriousness, if this is the kind of stuff that is going on that's exposing every sector of our understanding of what we understand as civilization as we, wouldn't it be in our best interest to ask another intelligence that's maybe a little more intelligence out there, and maybe wouldn't it be in the realm of infinite possibilities that they would be answering us at this time, and now they are answering us. This is about full disclosure. And how do you wake two or three or four or a million generations up to the fact that
I'll tell you how we do it. We do it just exactly the way we're doing it everywhere.
Yeah.
We come together right now. That song is a great song, too. Or who sang that song, Come Together Right Now?
John Lennon.
John
who
Lennon.
Else?
I mean, okay,
it's the Beatles. It's from the White Album.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'm selling. Oh, God. That's Amazing Graces. We
do have a caller on the line.
Oh,
yes.
Yay, there you go. Vilma.
Hi, how is everybody tonight?
Oh, we're...
Can you hear me today?
Yes.
Hi, Vilma. Yes, thank goodness we can.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Listen, today I sent you, Beth, and you, Rama, a copy of an article from the Internet called... Nasara Close at Hand. Did you get it?
I read that, and I will just say that this has to tie in with the different stories out there that have been in the mainstream news about 9 Christian militia members being arrested, and they were planning to blow up IEDs, improvised explosive devices, just like Iraq. Yeah, at a cop's funeral and take out a bunch of other cops. And
as Keith said, Keith Oberman said a while ago, he said this has a very long track record, everybody. These guys haven't just sprung out of nowhere.
A lot of this gives many groups who are understanding how to step out of one venue and move into...
Well, this one has to do with the provost marshals serving notice to the governors.
Yes, I have to say.
Okay, wait a minute. This is an elaborate, very, very elaborate propaganda that covers all kinds of stories and ties them together.
Yeah.
It is Custer's last stand. What we must realize is that the King of Swords told us this. Bush's brain was very, very much something that would have to be very carefully washed for one reason and one reason alone. And this is where Rama said that the next time Karl Rove gets visited, it will and might be a man. Who said that?
Randy Rhodes said that today.
Okay, and now she's a white knight, everybody.
Yeah.
She's been in with the king as long as 1996. As soon as Bill Clinton made it through the eye of the needle and got in there in 97, that was a close call, everybody. They wanted to shut, they did effectively kill and clone Schwartz,
yeah, General Schwarzkopf.
Schwarzinger.
Yeah, Roy Schwarzinger.
Roy
Schwarzinger.
Oh, yeah, well, yes. Although the thing is that he wasn't a general.
No.
He was just a very down on the totem pole man. And then when they were finished, you know, infiltrating, then he got placed in solitary confinement, and the second time they got him, the second time they killed him by lethal injection and put a replacement in there. This is all a propaganda from that. It's going all the way back to why Hillary Clinton was really made the patsy you might see for every dark black op that anybody in those, you know, plans for the 13 families just might need. They were going to give her covert double agent status. You might say that was, this was Valerie Plame status as well. And how did this happen? Oh, Dick Cheney? Dick Cheney and Hillary? How does that get in there? Oh, it's the Queen of England, is it? She came over here, didn't she? When did she come over here? In 2006, and she was really raring angry because Dick Cheney, and this is Christopher Story reporting, had just reported to Christopher Story that 8.4 trillion, I forgot the exact figure. It was the whole Bank of England. That broke the fake queen. It completely broke the fake queen, and Hillary got the job, you might say, that she was set up to do to get the attention to go ahead and run. And she was taken into custody at the same time. And then a clone of her, with her in custody, and then what did he say? Bill Clinton, Chris Story said that Bill Clinton was, and I'll just say this, that the king confirmed what we are knowing about it, is that a clone of Bill Clinton, remember there were 21 of them, a clone of Bill Clinton was taken to another place, not the same place, and as it was, the jury was out on that one. And you might say that the real Bill Clinton, who's been in this witness protection situation all this time, and is now coming back, and he is going to be realized as to the every cog in the wheel and what everyone had to do, one had to do, to actually meet at the table and have this time be the time that the world would say, now is the time to come to the Galactic Round Table. And we are here. And we are the ones that we are and have always been and always will be. And our creation all the same and one. This is what it means in universal law. That's what it means in the Mayan code. There's not one date. There are layers upon layers. It really came down strong when Sir Francis Bacon came in. As a matter of fact, a star right in the middle of his time when he should have been next in line when his mother departed. God rest her soul. Well, in 1604, there was a star in Ophiuchus, in the foot of Ophiuchus. Now, you know this is Saint Germain energy. And Saint Germain energy is the violet flame. It's divine alchemy. How come we're doing 777 all of a sudden, everyone? And this means what? It means how many clones did they make of Bill Clinton? Anyone?
21.
Are we listening, everyone?
That's what I was going to say. I actually know. Oh, my God.
And the reason is this. Let me tell you. From birth, from actually conception all the way through to 7, full brain development continues. And actually the size of the brain continues after birth all the way through the first year. This is the reason why whatever was going on when us baby boomers got in there, and anybody that got in there, our dear brother Mark walks right in at night, turned 33, and said, "I had an appointment." And Beth, his mother, delivers him and promptly leaves in 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are numerically masterships, encoded, knowing that before enlightenment, you do the work.
Chop wood, carry
and
water.
And after enlightenment, we do the same as the mending of the rip in the time-space continuum mends, the stakes get higher and higher and higher. And that boat is, you know, you remember the word boat or canoe is a spaceship. You know, these things of east and west and the concept of a boat being an ark, well, that's also a spaceship.
Very large cargo craft.
It's actually a Merkaba vehicle, and it was an amphibious starship of Noah's.
Yeah.
And yet, and still at the time of Noah, that was the same time that everybody who was on the ground in Atlantis or not was there. We were there because it was a fifth-dimensional, third-dimensional, stellar interruption at the highest point of a stellar civilization in, I must say, recent history that is yet kept secret. Things like Dr. Richard Hoagland finding the whole city of the white city of Atlantis, all the way down there,
2 miles underneath.
A mile and a half underneath the Arctic.
Antarctica,
mm-hmm. Yes.
They did a whole series on Stargate Atlantis, the switch over between SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis, and it parallels that story exactly, because it's about the gates.
That's right.
All the gates are opening. And
it is that story.
Yes.
They come out right into the snow.
They do. And this is the issue that's been going on since the Admiral came here and he sat on the hillside and said, "Let's talk about blessed are the children." And it was about trying to explain to us that we are gods and goddesses and it never went away. It's right here. All our gifts and our abilities are returning, and the indigo crystal children, the heroes, the prophets, along with these crystals that are showing up in the legends and stories, like Will Smith plays in that story, Hancock, where, you know, he's sleeping on park benches and he's a drunk and he's immortal.
And he has superpowers.
And he has superpowers and he represents Horus, Heru.
Right.
And it is the story of, you know, many of these Anunnaki warlords and ancient beings, bird people, lion people, reptilian, they can't die. They have gone from one body to the next, translating their consciousness with the pain and the sorrow of the genocide they have created for generations. And it's time it heals. This is why all of it's coming up for everyone.
Not only that, this is the time to nurture.
Yes.
Love.
I'd like to, Vilma asked a very important question, and I want to touch on a different angle of the answer for a minute.
Okay.
So, Vilma, I read your note, but I also received this from 30 other people. And many folks writing to me are saying, you know, this kind of sounds like Nisara. Isn't this cool? And I'm going to tell you, no, it's not cool at all, but I'll tell you why. This movement of Restore America has names attached to it like Tim Turner and Sam Kennedy, and these are good guys. But on their backs came in these other ones who have been making billions and quintillions of money off of the hedge funds, and they are interested in, you know, taking over the government, and they are militia types. But they're using very clever wording when they send out these viral emails. They're mentioning God. And they're saying, you're not going to have to pay taxes anymore. And we're going to cancel out all the mortgages. And so they kind of try to tie it in with, you know, kind of the kind of talk we mentioned with Nasara to make it sound legitimate. And these ones were, nine of them were brought up on charges. Rama, what kind of charges was that? Conspiracy charges, right?
Conspiracy along with sedition.
Right.
And they were also caught with, you know, technology to make, you know, weapons, which is not cool. This is, you know, I understand a lot of people are very angry, and it goes to the level in which where what they have been told through the mass media and the mind control, and
it's bringing up all the war crimes that have
got buried. All of the stuff that's gone
all
on.
All over the world.
So let me give a little more history about what this whole movement was about. A couple of months ago, it came out in the news that the Syrian commander, President Barack Obama, made an announcement that he had made a governor's council. And what this meant was the governors had come to him a couple of months ago. And they said to him, help us, help us. This militia is coming for us, and they're going to show up in our offices with the military and try to do bad things to us. And he looked at them all, and he said, in a very propitious manner, he read them their epitaphs, and they were in so deep they couldn't escape. And he said, you boys are on your own. And he pulled the ones that were the few good ones, and he invited them to a council. And the rest of them, he said, you're getting arrested anyway, so I'm not so worried about your little problem. In the meantime, they've been watching these guys for over a year, and several of them got arrested. So, you know, there's websites out there that talk about Nasara, and they pull my words from my website and post them on their website, and they pull everything word for word. And what they do is they try to lend credibility to their lies by pulling the work of Tara, Rama, and Beth, and saying that what they're doing is cool. And then they send these emails that have these little phrases in them that make them sound cool. But it's important to keep your head and really look at the information and see what they're really saying.
Absolutely. And one thing that's golden is that there are double agencies within levels, within levels, within levels, within levels.
This is coming from Faction 2, which is controlled by Faction 1. And when Nasara comes, there will not be any weapons involved in taking back the government. That is nothing to do with what we're doing at all. So don't get mixed up on this anymore. And don't send 30 emails saying, isn't this cool? Because you guys know better.
Lasers.
Right?
I think, you know, is Mother coming close to wanting to come and visit?
Oh, my.
I don't know. I mean.
Well, I'll tell you why, because right now there's been phasers involved for a considerable amount of time. Remember all those things that Dr. Richard Boylan talked about, that there was a Navy SEAL, Delta Force, NSA, CIA, Special Forces, all descending on these underground bases where they had been torturing aliens and playing with their force fields and really killing them and just experimenting on them too. And they came in, the Ashtar Command came in, and they put the other guys in a force field that were disarmed and disabled and unable to move. Not the way that Hillary did it with her white phosphorus in Waco. Do you see the difference, everyone?
Well, the other thing is this. The part of this that is good is that these emails are awakening more people, and they're teaching them and reminding them that sovereignty is important and that the government we have right now is a believed government. It's a fake corporation which is using us, riding on our backs from the time of birth to make money from us. Did you know that the reason they take the census is so that they can have a count of how many people have died? And that cancels out their Social Security account, the Cupid's number. And that also cancels out the birth certificate number. And so when they take the census, they're calculating the gross national product because it's you. They're trading you at 55 Water Street all the time, making a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars. That's why they want you to fill out the census forms. So when this group comes around and they start talking about sovereignty and, hey, maybe it would be cool if we didn't pay taxes anymore. I mean, that's the only part of this message that is cool because it is waking up the sleepyheads. So they start thinking about themselves no longer as a straw man, but maybe as a sentient being who's a spiritual being having a human experience. So if that's the reason why this is cool, then I would agree with that. You know, because they are playing to the religious right with these emails, the way they're bringing in, you know, God and sovereignty and the way they're talking about it. So at least people are thinking a little bit differently about their government. The only problem with this group is they're tied in with folks who have a tendency to be racist, teabaggers, citing civil unrest like Michelle Bachmann, who lumps in all the truth with all the lies and makes everything sound like it's true, and criticizing the President of the United States in a way that's illegal.
As well as Caribou Barbie putting out stories that, you know, if you see somebody with an Obama bumper sticker, go over to that car, knock on the window and say, are you happy with the change yet?
Well, worse than that, Harry Reid, his wife and his daughter suffered a hit when a truck hit their car and they had to go to the hospital and have surgery and broken back and broken neck. And the day he got to go back to Nevada on his recess, the day he returned to Nevada on Easter recess to go visit them and be with them, then Sarah Palin arranged to have to be in Nevada that day specifically because that's where Harry Reid is. It was like a second hit. It's a psychological hit.
Yeah, and this also has to do with the issues that are going on in the sense they're so desperate to pull anything off. This is why the saber rattling about Iran is going on right now. Iran already has 12 nukes. Ashtar has it under control.
That's right.
The only thing that's not under control is the small criminal rebel band of life forms called our wayward brothers and sisters that are of the scaly persuasion. Love them even more. And I don't mean to make fun of it. I mean, I serve alongside reptilian commanders on the New Jerusalem, and I love them just as much as any other crew member, and it is about healing with each other on all levels, and there are so many that are waking up and saying, I've had it, you know, I'm out of here, in the sense of serving the Dark Master Vader any longer, and it is turning of the tide, yet all from the it's in flames, and love Mr. Ratzinger even more because it has to do with the final story where Hitler is gone forever. Praise Jah.
Well, when I, this morning I put a video of Sinead O'Connor from Ireland on, and the Irish are very, very unhappy about the Vatican cover-up since the 1960s. They had, they have about 5 reports, and there's quotes from those reports that there were agreed upon, legal documents that were signed by the priests and by the victims that said, I will not talk about this. And the reason they did that was to have a cover-up in the Vatican. That's the only reason. And they don't deny that these documents are real. And Sinead O'Connor very eloquently, she wrote an article, she very eloquently explains it on UK TV. This video comes from the BBC explaining all of this. And they say that the flock is not happy with the letter that the Pope released because he didn't take responsibility. He didn't offer to investigate. He didn't apologize to the victims. All he said was it shouldn't have happened. And they're starting to lose their faith, and they believe that if he doesn't take more actions that it will destroy the church. And we all know that the Vatican ordered 9/11, and all of this has to do with revealing what happened on that morning of 9/11.
That's right. And then, as peace is declared, Astar and Sananda can begin to tell us the real story.
Right.
Penny from Alberta, line 1.
If you know anything about Obama's strategy with declaring drilling on the east coast of America, what's he up to?
I would like to talk about that.
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up and just listen to you on the radio.
Thanks,
okay?
Penny. I was just going to talk about that next.
Okay, thanks. Great.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mine's in the same trap. Yes.
Okay, everybody. Now, if you want to talk to me about Nasara, seeing signs that Nasara is coming, then what I want you to look at is the health care bill was passed. The fixes to the health care bill was signed, and when that was signed, that brought in legislation reform for student loans. And we also have a new bill signed, a new law about finance reform. So if you're talking about finance reform, health care for everybody, and affordable college, maybe that's the legislation that's being laid out in lavender as a precursor to Nasara. To me, those things spell Nasara. And then you wake up in the morning and you see that he's released more lands for drilling oil, and you go, what? And you have a second cup of coffee because you got to think about that one. But what I can remind you about, and what Rama can speak on more in depth, is that President Obama is still wearing 2 hats, 3 hats. When he's releasing this news that he has a new understanding about nuclear arms reduction with the Soviets, you know, that's considered posturing, because what's really going to happen is Ashtar's going to show up and there's not going to be any more nukes at all. So they're bringing it out in the news to have us aware of it, just like the health care bill and the finance reform and the student loan changes.
I just got to jump in here, because remember when Russia declared, or this Finnish medical military woman, she went over to view Russia's, with the Russians, what did she go over there to look at again?
She went over to look at that secret building with all the pictures of the ships and all the beings.
And then she actually met. And the generals that were there and all of these other fellows and stuff, they were meeting the members of their families that had already died.
Yeah, this is the story about the lady who said the Russians will not fire upon the galactic ships.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that means that, you know, there was a debate as to where this would show up in its first really demonstrative I mean, what was that, something of a third kind? What was the name of the movie? I mean, we're not kidding.
No, we're not.
We're not kidding. That's, all that stuff was a preparation for this.
This is why I showed up at Rana Moo's office today and said, I'm reporting.
I mean, come on, Rama, that story.
Well, one of the things that's going on with President Obama is that some of the, he's in an elaborate chess game, and some of the moves he makes seem folly because he just got one pawn, but he's getting himself in line to take the queen. And what's happening is, you know, sometimes he's outing people and showing us all how crazy everything is. Like, as soon as he opened up these lands, supposedly, you know, this is what mainstream media is telling us, then, you know, Caribou Barbie comes out and she says, drill, baby, drill, you know, and we're all going, ooh! Oh. All of these ones are going to get arrested. So some of this is just, you have to take it with a grain of salt and remember that he's in this elaborate chess game and just, be patient. This is all playing out. We're just in the last minutes of everything.
Yes, and I should talk about, are you done with what you were going to say there, Beth? Because I should talk about this Germany harbors anger and hostility against Turkey. This is huge.
Yeah, it is.
Huge. And remember, there were some big high government characters in our government now. Right in the middle of everything, and in that other one, too, for the last 8 years, you know.
Well, can we, you know, explain what's going on with that? Because I only want to spend a few minutes with it because it's getting late, and I really need to cover some things on the UCC and becoming Washita.
Well, I think this, I need to take about 10 minutes.
Five.
Okay, I'll shoot. Chancellor Angela. The reason.
Well, first tell them why you're saying it, because this is a very important story.
Well, I'll tell you as I go, because when I get to it, I'll get made up.
Okay.
First of all, German Chancellor Angela Merkel is Hitler's daughter with Eva Braun. This is rounding up the fact that Hitler was trained in doing everything he knows over here, Area 51. And this is, okay, so, and Hitler is in a brig on a ship, and he got there because mother stopped him from going from the 24th century and time traveling back here, back and forth, aiding and abetting the Setonians, and doing horrific experiments with drugs on people. And our CIA people literally jumping to their own suicidal deaths or stage of it, being killed for what they witnessed and knew, and the doctors that were forced to do these things. All of this stuff is not completely disclosed, and it's all been rolled back. This is so... Okay, so Angela Merkel is a double agent in spite of the fact of who she is. And Hillary and Angela have a very relatively, one of the closest relationships there in the sense that Hillary's, her genetics, her grandfather, is the same man, you know, in the physical. And then through the DuPonts, you know, she comes through, but they put that seed is just once removed. It's Rothschild DuPont, Hitler, and Angela Merkel is Hitler, which is connected with Rothschild from the other direction, and also connected with the fact that Nazi-born son and father over here, and Nikola Tesla's bank accountant was George H. Scherf Sr., And his son was George H. Earp Jr., who was Bush Sr. And so Scherf Sr.'s name got changed as you're coming into Ellis Island, and that made the transfer one before called Prescott Bush. And there was one more they changed. I don't remember the name right now. I think it was Franklin Bush or something like that. There's the dynasty is four back. So it was all a cover-up, and it was all planned that long ago. Why? Because Nikola Tesla was a contactee, and every bit of his patents they stole, and then they played, and then they abducted, and then they tortured our brothers and sisters, even though they were in the fifth dimension, coming here asking for help in the third dimension. So Germany and Turkey have a number of discrepancies in their relations. Angela Merkel arrived in Turkey on the 29th of March for a two-day visit. She held a meeting with Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan to discuss various issues from global problems to the situation of the Turkish community in Germany. The biggest one of the discrepancies is about Germany's opposition to Turkey's full membership in the European Union. Merkel said that the talks about the EU membership for Turkey was a process with no end date. She added that Germany could offer Turkey the status of a privileged partner of the European Union rather than a military. Erdogan does not share Merkel's point of view. It would be a big mistake. We continue the talks in the full membership only. Edmund Vegas, Turkey's Minister for European Affairs, said that such a status is privileged partnership and it does not exist, so we do not take that option seriously because there is no legal foundation of it. At times, I feel insulted for being, but what this part goes down to is the two countries disagree on their approach to the Iranian issue. This is Hillary again. Merkel said that the international community must not put more pressure on Iran over its intention to continue the uranium enrichment program. Now remember, our country in D.C. at the D.C. Turkish embassy had high government officials passing nuclear secrets right back to Turkey. And this is why. And guess what? Germany also has, okay, this is very important. It's very, and Cyprus, there is a war going on in this island of Cyprus. And this is just beyond, it's time for this all to be over. The German chancellor also urged Turkey to officially recognize the government of Cyprus, which holds the EU membership. Ankara only recognizes the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus and does not intend to revise its stance on the matter. A discussion about the situation with the 3-million-strong Turkish community in Germany developed into a hot argument. The Turkish government wants Germany to open Turkish schools in the country. Germany was not enthusiastic about such an idea. To put it mildly, German officials said last week that the appearance of Turkish schools in Germany would impede the integration of Turkish nationals into the German society. Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan stated prior to Merkel's visit to Ankara that he would not could not understand the reasons for such. I was not expecting that, Chancellor Merkel. Is Turkey a whipping boy for Germany? You got it, or what, vice versa, because, okay. Erdogan said that Germany could introduce dual German-Turkish citizenship so that the Turks living in Germany could preserve their ethnic citizenship. Merkel considerably changed her views regarding the opening of Turkish schools in Germany during...
radio.com.
That was the documentary, Upsonbury, and into the Rose Chapel, and then we go to the Da Vinci Code movie, and Tom Hanks, that guy risked his life, and the Vatican did not take him out because the Vatican, this is a dog and pony show. I just got to say that one thing that Jon Stewart had on. He had this picture.
Oh, my God.
He had this picture of the Pope up there, and he had black eyes. You've seen that one with the white, and he said he looks like he's been dead for, and then he looked and he paused and he looked again and he kind of looked and he said, for a very long time. And need I say, this is it. We are going to be looking now at the undead ones that are, you know, amongst us and have been. And there are undead ones amongst us in every walk of life. And they, even at a soul level, I mean, they come back through and meet Mother at a soul level. This is on every time-space continuum, past, present, and future. There have been some undead ones that have been hanging out there where Ranamu was, way out there in 175 million years into the future, where one-third of the Milky Way galaxy was completely gone. And she demonstrates to Rama how she's time-traveling through the wall at the Department of Energy in the warp drive speed engine room.
Tara.
Yes.
Repeat what you said about 175 million years in the future, because it's the whole explanation of why we're all here right now.
And why Ranamu had Rama pay a little visit, and why Rama was the one that took the initiative and said, I've had it. What did you say to her?
I said I was reporting.
I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it anymore.
Well, I didn't put it
that
movie. Way. I said, greetings, Commander Ma'am. I am reporting for duty for Starfleet Academy, and I want my rank back with all the abilities that go with it to get the job done so we can have peace on Earth. And she said, just a minute, I got to show you this. And then she went over to the wall, and on we go. It's about healing all of the issues so far back, the grief that goes to watching, I mean, quintillions of souls that have left and have returned, in the sense of the portals that have occurred since the time we all left Nibiru, and it's come full circle right now. This is why Mother has returned, this whole understanding of Mother Africa, the great goddess, the great Awa.
Also today in Russian prop, this article that we read, it has your Russia also today. Turkey warns the United States over Armenian genocide resolution. And believe you me, you remember that was our Supreme Court, and they said case closed. We're not dealing with this. This is War Crimes Tribunal time. This is Lady Master Nada in everybody's face on the ground. This is the Black Madonna coming everywhere, and this Michelle Obama, Black Madonna, is coming in with organic gardening. And this is going to change the world now. The Divine Feminine, we just finished. What's the date today?
Today's 31.
Okay, this is the last day of
tomorrow's
women's suffrage.
April Fool's Day.
This is the whole month, the last day.
And it is about the healing on all levels for all life forms. This is why everything is coming up for everyone right now. And, I mean, it was no accident that I got a wild hair and said, okay, I want to report for Starfleet Academy. Let's get on with it. And I would just say, I would use the technology to announce the presence. And
okay, and that would be another
thing. Has Rana Mu ever shown you these portals before?
They just had a commercial for Maitreya and Star. I am not kidding. It was
there, you sounded.
Yeah. Benjamin Cram and Maitreya. This was on MSNBC right now.
Along with George Bush showing up, it's the discussion is going on again. I can't imagine.
And I am just saying.
What do you mean they had a commercial for Maitreya and the Star?
They had a commercial for Share International giving the 1-800 number.
You're kidding.
And they showed all the different ships. Of the different colored spheres of Lord Maitreya's craft.
I watched it too, I'm standing here right here watching.
This is the underwriting sponsor for MSNBC. The man got it down.
I would have seen it if the TV wasn't on cartoons right now.
Cartoons are cool too.
They are, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to say this is a good this is something very interesting in terms of a double agency. You know that she would not want to be aligned with Turkey and the European Union because it aligns her and everybody in the European Union with what the United States represents in the European Union and through Turkey. And that is where this story gets bigger because the House of Fahad comes in right there. How? Through Turkey. Remember we talked about that the daughter of King Faisal, that King Faisal was killed by the House of Fahad of Saudi Arabia. And you know that
this was an internal war between the different folks of Islam that have to do with the healing between their own worlds.
Now you have to understand that we're going for the whole thing. We just got through talking about Rana Mu coming from 170 million years into the future. Well, the daughter of King Faisal is the return of Suleiman to the Turkish Ottoman Empire. And Suleiman actually created the arts and the literature and the Sufi. Ooh. And the Sufis were the Moorish, and the Moorish were the artists of Afghanistan and all of the Hindu Kush and India and Africa, the whole thing in one Persian empire. Persian empire. So this is the healing of Iran with Turkey, with the West. Checkmate, Hillary.
You know where we're seeing this also is right now they're going through the ICC with the Bosnians and the Serbs. It's the same story on the Georgia soil, on the Bosnian soil, on all the Istan countries that I don't remember the names of. It's all the same story of the ethnic cleansing.
It is. Every single story, and now Germany becomes the first country to admit clandestine chemtrails operations. This is good, and this is something that only Angela Merkel doing. This is blowing a whistle. Where are chemtrails from? Hillary, Naziville, Germany, and here you can see that Hillary is on the wrong side of the fence. As the granddaughter of Hitler, and Angela Merkel in this case, even as the daughter of Hitler, has brought the light in. In that case, there's still going to be Nazi headquarters, Der Vertigo's Dimes, over there, and it's over here too. And we're talking about everywhere over here. Even to the down to the all the mounds where the Ouachita are, and over here in Pecos, and Pecos River goes right by there. And that you've got back to the Ouachita people, because that goes down into Texas, and it's all that river is Ouachita.
It all returns
and
full circle.
It's where the Ouachita go all the way down to the border through Texas into Mexico and connect with the Olmecs. Get it, everyone? We're all one.
Maybe you should talk about Ouachita now, Dad. Sorry you took so long.
Yeah, I'm ready to do that. Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This is fun. My goodness, everyone.
It's so nice to have the stories coming out now.
Yes.
Thank you.
We are all one.
We are all one. Now, this is one of my favorite topics, everybody. We touched on this on Sunday, and we had some call-ins. And if you have any questions, you can call me while we're doing this, 415-762-1161. And I want to add to what I said on Sunday and clarify some things and also answer some questions that came up on that call. And so tonight I'm going to talk more about becoming Ouachita. And we all know that Michelle and Barack Obama are Ouachita. And this is what has already started is us forming our planetary government. Every time I teach about this, I will make this statement. This broadcast is limited for the sole use of intended for educational use only. Any and all political, private, or public entities, federal, state, or local corporate governments, municipalities, international organizations, corporations, agents, investigators, or informants at all, and or third parties working in collusion by collecting and or monitoring my communications without my exclusive permission are barred from any and all unauthorized review, use, disclosure, or distribution, with explicit reservation of all my rights, without prejudice, and without recourse to me. Any omission does not constitute a waiver of any and all or all intellectual property rights or reserved rights. Notice to principal is notice to agent. Notice to agent is notice to principal. As we talk about becoming Ouachita, we speak about what is in progress now. We are returning to a planetary government. Step one is filing your freedom papers at your county courthouse. The freedom papers include the security agreement, the indemnity bond, and it will also include the birth certificate bond. There's also a bunch of others in there that I'm not going to list right now, but I have posted them on the galacticroundtable.com. When you go to your county,
do you want to take any questions, or should we tell people to wait? We have a couple callers, so shall we do that later? Or
I want the callers to hang on if you can, and if not, call back, because I want this recording to go out as a flow so people can hear it and get it. And I will not be too long, and I will answer questions when I'm done. Thank you, Marita. When you go to your county courthouse, you may use any courthouse within 150 miles of your domicile, meaning where you live. You may find that some courthouses will charge you to file your freedom papers in the public register. It typically takes sorry, 7 to 10 days for the papers to be filed and for your LIBOR number to come back to you. The charges for filing your freedom papers in the public register can range anywhere from about $10 to around $100. So you might want to shop around in your area and call them and check how much they charge before you decide where to file your papers. You might find out if you drive 50 miles in the other direction and go to a different courthouse, you might save $90 when you're filing your papers. And after you file your freedom papers in the public register of your local county courthouse, then the county will affix a LIBER number, L-I-B-E-R, to the county document. The LIBER number is important because it is required that you have the LIBER number on your UCC-1 financial statement form, or you will not be able to file for Ouachita Nation status. Once you have filed your freedom papers and then applied the LIBOR number to your UCC-1, then and only then may you file your UCC-1. And sure, the UCC-1 form is one page and it only takes about 5 minutes to fill out. However, the freedom papers are about 200 or so pages and may take slightly longer. If you own property, you'll have an addendum to your UCC-1. And if you are adding minor children and or grandchildren, you will add an addendum. To decide if you need any addendums, you must read the instructions on filling out the UCC-1. And they are attached to the form, and they're not difficult to figure out. In order to have the correct UCC-1, which is the Uniform Commercial Code, one must go on to the website of their Secretary of State. As an example, Michigan's website is www.michigan.gov/SOS. But each Secretary of State site is different in all 50 states. You may find the one for your state by putting into the search engine your state abbreviation and the letters SOS. And when you get to your state website, they all have a tab called UCC. And this is where you find the forms. You will have to choose between printing a blank copy to fill out by hand, or filling it out online and printing it out. Either way, it costs about $20 to file the UCC for one adult and your children, and your partner will need their own UCC. The paperwork I have furnished you has been very generously offered to us for free by our friend, Grand Goddess Lily. She is an elder in the Matriarchal Council of Ouachita, and this paperwork has been used since the 1980s, and it's considered tried and true. You will need to retain a copy of your freedom papers with the LIBOR number and your completed UCC-1 and any necessary addendums. It is required you keep a copy for your records. And when you have these, make a copy of them to mail to the Ouachita Nation. This is how you obtain your Ouachita affiliation documents. The Matriarchal Council will issue Ouachita affiliation documents as soon as your entire UCC package is finished and a copy of the same is mailed to the headquarters address. I'm going to read the address here for purposes of the archive, and I'm going to post this, what I wrote up, so it will be in both places. It will be on the galacticroundtable.com, on the center blog, under the article called Becoming Ouachita, you'll find this address, and you can copy it from there. You can also listen to the archives again to get the address. Ouachita Mir, M-I-R, 7, the number 7. And the address is 2435 East North Street, Greenville, Greenville, South Carolina Territory, Territory, near, in parentheses, 29615. 29615. The seal of Ouachita must be affixed to the document in order for the instruments to be valid, and that's why it has to be mailed. Anyone looking to have support of an attorney may have difficulty. Attorneys are not licensed to practice law. Everybody knows this. Attorneys are members of the bar in the UK. And if an attorney pulls a person out of the public and into the private, they will be called back to London and off with their head. Attorneys practice statutory law and know nothing about common law. And we call common law divine law because we're not common. Attorneys are always practicing at law, and they're never perfect, and they never perfect the law. Just remember that. An opinion from an attorney is always within the color of the law. Most, if not all, attorneys you might try to talk to about this will say that filing the UCC-1 is frivolous and fraudulent, and you may not be able to get help from an attorney. And there's a very important reason for that. They're making money off of you. If you are a naturalized citizen of the United States, that means you do not have a birth certificate of the United States. A person who comes from another country must have their birth certificate transferred from their country to the United States. Most countries will not want to give up their gross national product, which is you, and you will have to request a transfer of your birth certificate. At birth, our countries establish accounts to make money from us. Millions of dollars by trading our accounts at 55 Water Street in New York City. Foreign countries will not readily give up their wealth, and your birth certificate belonging to them represents their wealth. In order to become Ouachita, a naturalized citizen of the U.S. must have their birth certificate registered here. When requesting to become Ouachita, a person is declaring their allegiance to the land of Ouachita. So, until you have a birth certificate that's registered in the United States, you cannot finish a UCC form, and without the UCC form being finished with the LIBOR number in it, you will not get your Ouachita designation. So your first step, if you're a naturalized citizen, is to get your birth certificate transferred from your mother country to the United States and registered here. As I was saying before, and I'm going to repeat this part, if you didn't know the reason they need you to fill out the census, it is so that they can collect the death numbers. What does that mean? When you're born, they make a number that they put on your birth certificate. And when you die, they make a death certificate. And it's a different number. That death certificate certifies that you are no longer a commodity. And that's why the physicians are required to call the time of death, because it's a legal process. It ends your slavery inside the government. Also, on the back of your Social Security card is your personal Social Security CUSIP number, C-U-S-I-P, all caps, number. This is another account that the corporation called United Small U, States of America, makes money off of you, their slave. This goes all the way back to Enki, Yen, and Lil. And when you file your UCC-1, you are telling the corporation that you are not that silent straw man living to die for them. Filing the UCC-1 means you are declaring you are a sovereign, sentient being. Yes?
Oh, I got to tell you, this is a big one on the big story, because remember when Chris Story was talking about January or December 28th, 29th of the Christmas date before New Year's, that Paulson in 2007, no, it was, yeah, it was 2007, that he was shot close range in the chest, and that he was 72 hours in a hospital, and then he was declared by the state as dead.
And Bush lying about it.
And then Bush did not acknowledge it, and even when he was questioned about, where is he then? Show us. He said, don't worry, he'll be here. He's having a little, you know, he's got the flu or something. And
he sent him to Saudi Arabia for a few days.
And yeah, right. Tweet. And and then he shows up with this hologram of Paulson at a very long table, you know, where everybody was sitting around that table. And that includes the head of the SEC and Dick Cheney and George Bush. And, oh, my God, what a sick little bunch of puppies. Anyway.
As Tom Hartman puts it, the good, the bad, and the very, very ugly.
Oh, I know what it was. It was just Dick Cheney that time. I'm sorry. Forgive me. It was just Dick Cheney and Bush Jr. and Paulson. And Paulson was on the right. And he was actually spliced into the screen, everyone. And he was in a different time frame. And I remember watching him, and he would look, and he didn't really, you know, he'd kind of look and go, ooh, you know, but he was looking at another hologram of things going on from his eyes. And he started looking in the opposite direction. He's sitting at the table, and he's like a little kid in a playhouse or something, and he's looking up to the complete opposite side, which would be, you know, not the place where, you know, the focus was supposed to be with Mr. Bush Jr. jabbering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what they did, as this is an example of all the things we said have always been true, and they have continued to operate with impunity, just making trillions and trillions and trillions. Mm-hmm. And I mean, thousands of trillions, and I'm afraid to say how many altogether. It's unbespeakable, yet all we know is that Saint Germain has 40 zeros after the gold transfer that's in this country in its proper undisclosed location.
Right.
It's all bad paper, and it's all fake printed out stuff, and it's not really worth dying in Iraq every single day for.
And Barack Obama is Washita. We're going the long road with this runner. You know that Barack is a runner right now. And
that's why he's wearing so many different hats, because he's bringing about planetary government.
And his father was a runner, and his father's father, all the way back there.
Who's his father, Tara?
I think it's got to do with the Bantu in Kenya.
No, it's Malcolm X.
Oh, no, I know that, I know. But I'm saying his father, Malcolm X, is from there, too. They covered everything up.
Right. But it's very important that you say you're talking about Malcolm X.
Which is another piece of the feminine and the big story that I just discovered even after we talked that I really want to go into. And it does have to do with
Let me finish all of this stuff for these ones who are really diligent about coming into this information. Let me finish this for them because they've been waiting for this.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, remember, everybody, you are a spirit having a human experience, and becoming Washita means you agree to follow the five basic principles of natural law upon which all empirical law is based, and that is love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. And Lady Master Nada, the greatest attorney in the solar system, with her husband, King of Swords, and Saint Germain, are bringing in a new financial system and a new government system. And we've been talking about this for just about a year, as far as if you want to talk about me. I've been saying this for a year. And, you know, we talked about it then, and we never dreamed it would develop into this, but this is the planetary government we've been talking about. The Uniform Commercial Code is uniform worldwide. If you're in Canada or the UK or other places, you may have to contact the local office of UCC where you live to find your correct UCC form. The one I speak of is only for the United States. And this may take some effort on your part, but you will find it by putting the information into the search engine. This process is something to take your time with to do it right. It does not make sense to take shortcuts. If one tackles the paperwork one small step at a time, you will get through it. And please feel free to contact me with your questions at my email. It's B like Beth, Trutwin, T-R-U-T-W-I-N. It's spelled like True Twin, B True Twin, at gmail.com. It's G like Google, gmail.com. I will touch on spiritual aspects of recognizing and acknowledging you are a sovereign spiritual being. There is a large distinction between the church, religion, and being a Christ. The church teaches one must follow Jesus Christ. Being a Christ means you acknowledge you are a sovereign being who is Christ within, and every other person is Christ within as well. Lord Maitreya, the cosmic Christ, asked no one to follow him. He suggests one follow any religion that is best suited for them. The cosmic Christ returns to earth on the day of emergence to remind all of us to come together as one humanity, to love each other. That's the feminine principle of Divine Mother. Take care of one another and be as one people with self-governance. This is what it means to join the Washita Nation. It is the planetary government. And that's all I have to add. I'll check if there's any callers with questions. Lightbeam 12, are you still there, dear?
Pat, and then we do have Diana.
Lightbeam, are you there still? Lightbeam, I'm not hearing you. Okay, so if you, I know that took a while, so feel free to call back if you can. Diana, hi.
Hi there. Thank you so much, Beth, for going over this. This is the first time I've heard it in any kind of a concise order, and I just want to say thank you, and I want to ask a question. When you say that we file our freedom papers, can we get copies of those freedom papers from the Galactic Roundtable? Where do we find those papers?
These papers were
the security agreement, the indemnity, and the birth certificate idea. Where do we go? Where do we find that? I'm having trouble going to the Ouachita site. I'll just tell you, every time I go there, my computer kicks me out, and it totally shuts me down. My Internet Explorer will not allow me to even go to the Ouachita site, so I can get no information whatsoever.
Well, not to worry, because Grand Goddess Lily very generously shared everything you need. And on Sunday, I posted all the entire contents of the Freedom Papers on the Galactic Roundtable. And
are
the
they forms that we can download?
What you have to do is, in order to find them, you go to the center blog. And you will click on, you know, as the blog continues, as I post new things, the old articles from a day or two ago drop down. So what you have to do, what a person will do, is they'll go to the bottom of the blog on the right-hand side and click the words View All, V as in Victor. View All, click on that. That will take you to all the blog posts. And if you don't see it there, then you have to go down to the bottom of the page on the left-hand side and click on Previous. And that will scroll you back through all the blogs. And it's only been a couple of days, so you should find it pretty quick. And there are 13 posts. And they say UCC Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4, Part 5. And as you pull them up and open them and print them out, you will have the full packet of Freedom Papers, including everything, plus the instruction. And so, since I posted those on Sunday, we've been looking at making a tab at the top of the Galactic Roundtable called UCC Forms, and that's not there yet. And the reason why is because we've been testing out how to load up PDF files so the red parts of the ink stay red, and it's easier for everybody to discern what they're printing out. So the forms are there now. If you want them, you can go on the 13 posts and print them off. And if you're willing to wait a day or two, we're unraveling how to post them as PDF files, and you'll be able to pull them off and put them on your own computer. So, yes.
Okay, that's great.
There.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much.
I just also wanted to tell everybody, tonight I was watching PBS here in Idaho, and they were showing the documentary of Martin Luther King's speech of April 4th. We're about to have that anniversary coming up in a couple of days, and showing how he was murdered 1 year to the day after he gave that speech and merged the civil rights movement with the peace movement, and how that upset the whole apple cart and basically was the reason why he was murdered. And I find this very much a part of Full Disclosure, and I was so surprised to see it on Idaho public television, of all places. So I think this is a really good sign. And you might check your local PBS public broadcasting stations. I'm sure they're playing this wonderful documentary. It lasts about an hour. It takes place in the Riverside Church, and there are many people speaking in it and telling their story of Martin and how he was so much moved in his heart that he was seeing our black brothers and sisters going to the front line. They were drafting them much faster than they drafted anybody else, and they were basically becoming cannon fodder in the Vietnam War. So that's why he gave that speech, which really cost him his life.
And not to mention, Lady Master Deanna, do you know exactly when Passover is? Oh, 30th. We just had it yesterday.
Passover started on Monday night.
Right.
It started at sundown on Monday night. We're in the middle of it right now.
Right. Yes, we are. And you know, then we've got Good Friday. Let's see, Monday night.
That begins at sunrise on Friday. So as the evening of Thursday commences, that was the day of the Last Supper. That would be the anniversary of the Last Supper.
Now, listen to this, Lady Master. It's also All Fool's Day that same day, Holy Thursday.
I know, isn't that interesting?
April Fool's.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, on Pope John Paul II, they pulled the plug on him on April 1st, and they lied to everybody and put it on the 2nd. Then they killed him on
I remember when that happened, yeah.
And that was 2004.
Yeah, and on that very day, he was trying to reveal 9/11. Don't you remember he had a movie that he was going to play broadcast right from the Vatican showing the ships and showing the whole truth of 9/11, and they put his lights out before he could actually get that on the air.
Yes, he helped out the King of Swords way back in 97. He got him the Mafia and also the P2 Lodge. That is the deepest Vatican Masonic order. You don't want to meet those folks at the Louvre or something in Opus Dei. You know, they're connected with Opus Dei. And so those folks went down to Chile, everyone, and they went underground and they did things like sending fire bombs through the Setonian underground bases and burning them out. Mm-hmm. Literally. This has been going on, and these operations would terrify the normal everyday citizen. And so it's been very, how come nobody has it in the news routine? This is not what we came here for. We came here to be calm. And 100 million dark ones from in the bowels of the earth, yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm nervous about the time because the time's growing short and two people are waiting.
Oh, okay.
I want to give them a chance. Laura from Seattle, hi, how are you?
Uh-oh.
Laura, it sounds like you're not there, so if you have to call back, please do. Lightbeam is back.
Oh. Hello?
Who is this? Who is this?
This is Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
All right. Anyway, I wanted to say thank you so much for doing this. People pay a lot of money for what you're gifting us. And I just want to say my appreciation. And I do have a few a question. I've been reading this.
I want to say you're welcome, and I need to thank Grand Goddess Lily, because without her we wouldn't have this. And the only reason I'm doing this is because Alcyone asked me to do this and King of Swords asked me to do this, and this is moving into a planetary government. Had I not been asked by them, I still wouldn't be doing it.
Right. Well, thank you. Anyway,
thank you.
For doing it. Thank everyone else
about
for
it now that
Green
I'm
Goddess
in
Lily.
It. I'm
but
very happy that we're all doing it.
Yes, and so I wanted to say that I've been reading Marianne, and I've been reading this over the phone today, and we're planning to do some every day, and reading it out loud to each other, and is really empowering us. It makes you really understand who you are, and. Mm-hmm. But I do have some questions over the property list. Can we just copy this property list even though we may not have all this stuff, or do we have to actually list everything that we think we have?
What I've been told is that you can list as little or as much as you would like to from the property list, and you can include it in its entirety whether you have it or not.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And let's see. Well, I actually am going to get Marianne to call because she wrote down all the questions. So I'm going to ask her to call in with
Absolutely.
The other questions.
I'm happy to answer what I can.
All right. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you, Laura.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Lightbeam, are you there?
I'm still here. Hello.
Thank you for waiting. Hi, how are you?
No, I'm wonderful, and I have three wonderful things to share quickly that work in with what the broadcast is about today.
Oh, it's delightful to hear from you. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Ditto here for all of you. First thing I wanted to say is I have a dear friend out of the state of Florida who's going tomorrow to court to represent his straw man. I shared with him what we're doing at the Galactic Table, and he knows about it, and he's doing it himself. He had a little bit of help from other groups, but basically he is doing this for his spiritual path, which helps his physical path. And he is the one that referred me and connected me to you guys. So I wanted
great.
To acknowledge him, and that's the first thing.
Sure.
And if you wanted to make a comment on that, that's okay. And then I have a second thing I
just want
to
say more power to you, and I know you'll have a wonderful day tomorrow.
Well, thank you. And it's a win. He is he has told so many people about the Galactic Roundtable, and he's really a warrior out in front. I told him that he basically is setting the precedent for a lot of others to follow.
And I thank him.
Is wonderful. And the second thing I wanted to say to those who are working with the Jerusalem and Santa Fe, I was led to Santa Fe, New Mexico in 1998. I was there for about a year and a half, 2 years. I would live there part-time and then go up to the Rio Doso area to home and help family. Then I'd go back to Santa Fe or back and forth. While I was there, I was walking, and they have the most beautiful sunsets. I was walking in El Dorado, and I got the strongest intention, the strong intentions I have during my life. It was one of the strongest, that was Jerusalem. And I had no place or no context to put it. It didn't, to me, I thought, okay, it looks like maybe a Middle Eastern town because of the dirt roads and up and hill, and the homes are, are built, like that, in more like earthship homes, or more like that type of Mediterranean look. And but it was stronger. And until I heard over the broadcast from the round table, I put all the pieces together. And
the home of New Jerusalem.
The what?
Home of the New Jerusalem.
Exactly, the New Jerusalem. And I used to sing the song as I would walk my doggies up through the Paso El Dorado. Jerusalem, and it was like unconscious inspiration. So thank you. There's something definitely, and now I got to work my way back there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lady Master. That was good work.
Well, thank you so much. Something's going on there. Wonderful then, and I can't even imagine what the energy would be like now. But bless you, and I will hang up. Love all of you. Thank you for what you're doing, and count me in on everything.
Love you, Life Beam. Thank you very much. Namaste. Tara, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I sometimes I get mixed up on what time the ending is.
Oh, 11.
We have another hour, yeah. So if you were still saying something, go ahead.
We have 2 hours.
It's 9 o'clock here.
It's going to be midnight your time.
Rama's thinking obviously. Obviously. I don't know. I think we do 3 hours on Wednesday. I always get mixed up. Maybe
okay. Let me just make this very clear, because this was on Amy. It's the 42nd anniversary of Martin Luther King's murder on Sunday, Easter Sunday, on the 4th of April. That's a big deal. And I, Cindy Sheehan, didn't Cindy Sheehan's son get killed on the 4th of April, too?
I don't know. Exactly.
In 2003? I think so. I mean, everyone, this is time for this to be done. Just like Ma- Ranaru had to put up with Rama and say, oh, well, let's just show him the whole nine yards here. Let's time travel over there to Baghdad and back. And how long was she gone?
10 minutes.
And you were on the floor?
I was on the floor. With my jaw on the floor.
Oh, by the way, I had someone request that we cancel our Sunday call.
Oh, that might be...
A little too drastic, don't you think?
I think that usually when we come together on any day, we celebrate for some reason.
Okay.
I mean, are we going on Easter bunny hunts or our eggs or something or what?
By the time we get on late in the afternoon, the Easter bunny hunts will be done. And if not, if people are out of town with their families, then they can go on bbsradio.com's archive and they won't miss a thing.
That's right.
And I think we should spend some time looking back at the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on that day.
I think that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would just love to have everybody listen to that.
The Riverside Church speech, because that's the speech where he outright just said, this war is wrong. We have to stop it now.
It's just that I think the reason
CIA that we killed him for it.
And I think, though, that when we tested it, it might be too hard to hear. Because it's a very old tape. It needs to have been put on digitone.
Well, we'll find it. We're going to find it between now and Sunday.
Yeah, you can ask. I know that Democracy Now! Has it, yet it's still very difficult to. I'll just say that. And I just want to point out, I know I'm jumping ahead, yet the King of Swords, you keep on, you know, we keep on keeping track. Every year for May 5th, Cinco de Mayo Day. And that's because the last of the 78 programs is a program and it's called Unction. And what that means is that that program is representing all the gold certificates that belong to all the native people of Mexico, that whole area. And that's a lot of native tribal gold. And it's the last program. And I just say that's May. Yes, no, and I'm just pointing that out because Mother's Day is May 9th. And remember, what did Barack Obama say in 2009 on Mother's Day that year? Isn't that interesting? Mother's Day was the 10th last in 2008. And the 9th was the day he gave the speech on Saturday night. And, I mean, he said, what up, Mr. Michael Steele? What up, Mr. Bloomberg? You in New York to help do 9/11 and keep it a secret?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then Rupert Murdoch, all of that is, and Mother's Day, you cannot overlook Mother's Day. And then we're going to have Buddha's birthday right after that.
Right, Rupert Murdoch's in trouble dealing with China.
And Ascension Thursday is on the 13th, which is a Thursday of May, and it is the new moon. That's outrageous. That's the Pentecostal day. And that's the Shekinah. That's the Mother Day. That's a real Mother Day. Emerald Green Ray, Lady Master. With that archangel of yours that you showed us today? Oh, my, my.
Raziel.
Actually, Pentecost is a different day. It's interesting. Than Ascension Thursday. Forgive me, because it says on the 23rd is Pentecost. Oh, my gosh. So it means it's 40 more days. Ascension Thursday is the 13th of, no, 13th. It's 10 days later. Oh, that's interesting.
It sounds healthy right now.
And the reason I'm saying that is because, remember, at the beginning, every single year from the time that Dove started talking in 1999, it was Easter and Christmas when this would all be said and done. Easter and Christmas. And in 2007, remember we said this earlier in last week's call that Bernie Sanders was keeping up on the air on Tom Hartman on, what did you call that, Blue Hour? The Blue Hour, which was...
I'm not sure what you're talking
about. On Tom Hartman, Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Brunch with Bernie.
Yeah, only that was at that time. And it was 2007, and he was calling Rama up with Lady Masternado, with the King of Swords. This is what's really important, that the people that are in politics, in the Wealthy Visionary Group, and in the media... all these people, they are all connected with the King. And only at Fashion 3, Clap is just profound right now. In every which way. And I just say happy day. You know, April 4th. What's Good Friday then? April 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good Friday. Okay, All Fool's Day and then Good Friday and Last Supper Day. Oh my gosh, I am very curious about what's going to look like in the astrology for that weekend, everyone.
I'm looking at a blog post that someone added to the Galactic Roundtable, and they pulled it from galacticfriends.com, and the title says that Nisara is not far off because on March 30th, it gave notice to the governors, and this is that story again, and a lot of light workers are picking up on this, thinking this is Nisara. And this post goes on and on and on and on, quoting different things.
Yeah, no, that's not right. None of that's correct. And when we get time, I'm going to read the connection to that and to why Ouachita is the only place we can go. These guys kept it up into the old system in the negative male venue. Even though they created their so-called republic, it's in the negative male venue, and it's not in the feminine. And that's why it has to be this way. And that's why the King of Swords said no other way. And let's have Lady Master Mrs. Mercury help us get busy with her wings. Blue wings. You got this beautiful blue wings, Lady Master. It's the ray that Archangel Michael is definitely on, along with El Moria. Do you see the match? Here's Mr. Barak as El Moria in a time when he brought the Persian Renaissance in, along with the Sufi, all the art, all the poetry, Rumi.
Jodha Akbar.
Yes, and this is so major, everyone, because at the same time as El Moria was helping India in that Renaissance with Persia and everything that had to do with Hinduism and Sikhism and Tibetan Buddhism and Jainism and then Mughal Islamic king, and he had his wife was a Hindu, and talked about in every ism, Buddhism, and all of it, and he synthesized it, and he created another religion which included the principles that were in every other one of those religions. And that is what Barak was trained to do, to find that common ground and then have people like Rachel, of course, and people like Keith Olbermann and people like Amy and then people like Beth and people like Taryn Roma and people like Marita Robert and people like all these people. Now we've got Seth and Don sitting here going, let's just get this show empowered now.
And don't leave out Doug and Mickey.
And Doug and Mickey, okay. It's time. It's time for us in movement politics.
All right.
Tag your and this is what Tom said. Tom Hartman said this. He said, you know, all these people were just laying a heavy trip on Barack Obama. He would push them back every time. And he would say this. He would say this. He said, what I have seen so far and nothing has shown anybody else capable of doing for the last effing, excuse my language, 100 years, is that this, excuse me, I'm going to call it fiery background in the spirit walk on the good red road. This one is trained as Archangel Michael to intervene with the office of the Christ. And being the divine feminine would mean that all of us would understand this has nothing to do with gender. That garment, that seamless garment, that's the office of the Christ. And that is your golden electronic cosmic aura. Fully healed with no agitation, no holes, no rips, no entities. All of it evicted. In other words, the live in, you know, aura. Come in for dinner every day. And that is why we must end eating the meat. Because, you know, that guess who's coming to dinner thing. You know, parasites rule.
And Robin Williams yesterday.
Candida's another one.
Robin Williams made, because he had heart surgery, and he made this joke where they took this certain kind of something from a cow heart to make his human heart work the right way. And he said, we're now one, and I can't have any more meat. And it's like when I go and I look at it, I hear them in my head saying, you're one of us now. And you didn't pass up that aisle.
Yes, this is the Sattvic Yuga that we are already coming in, and we're getting acquainted, and we have surely, you know, taken the machete and gotten all the brush out of the way.
The viewers will be coming online momentarily.
What will be?
Replicators.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Hot Pot Sunday, please.
Mm.
Out of plant protein. Out of plant proteins. Beth, anybody else down there? Does anybody else?
You broke off for a second. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, you did that too earlier. There was a disappearing act.
Yeah, it's been happening all night.
Yeah, it has. I don't know, but everybody's still here.
As far as I know, at least we're here, so we might as well keep talking.
Okay, let's, well, what I would like to do is, I've read this, but it's been a while ago, and I say this would be the appropriate time. It's called the Babylon Stargate's here, too. It's 9:14, and we have to 11. We got time. Okay, this one is More Royal Dodi Al-Fayed and Barack Obama. And this was posted way back on February 2nd of 2008. And by Rayawan. And this is very important material because it has to do with Caroline. And you know that this is all about Caroline Kennedy. And co-equal, this vice president thing is going to be a completely different story. Get this over with. And there's going to be, you know, there's going to be some co-creating equally, male and female. And I would just like to read this because this is connecting the big story. And then we can do some of that. Yeah. Is the Kennedy bloodline the royal bloodline of Ireland? Yes. Lion Queen Caroline. I have been told by many people that Mohammed Al-Fayed is descended from the royal family of Egypt. Did you ever ask yourself why Egypt has no king? Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia has a king. Jordan has a king. Kuwait has an emir. Why does it not have a king, Egypt? That is, why is it not that Ethiopia has no king? Or a Ross, like Rastafarian? Duke is what Ross means. Could it be that the bloodlines that refuse to cooperate their lands and countries stolen, and as possible, the entire bloodline wiped off the face of this earth? As the New World Order did to the Romanovs, as Lenin, Trotsky, and the rest staged the so-called revolution. It was not, in capital N-O-T letters, a people's revolution. The Russian Revolution was carried out by servants of Rothschild, New World Order, exactly as the French Revolution was. Imagine Princess Diana, who is a more legitimate heir to the British than is Queen Elizabeth. Imagine the legitimate Queen of England married to the legitimate Prince of Egypt and holding court in exile in the Paris Palace that belongs to the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, who I adamantly believe was dethroned because he refused to work for the City of London, a.k.a. the Rothschild bankers, a.k.a. Londinium, a.k.a. New World Order. Connect the dots. Thank you for asking Beth to connect dots tonight. We're going to get a big dose now. On another point, one of my friends firmly believes she is the daughter of the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. Getting back to Diana and Dodi, that's Rama.
Mm.
You got an answer for that one.
Yeah.
It says here, let me just get that right. It says here that Queen, imagine the legitimate Queen of England, which is Princess Di.
That's right.
And then it says that one of my friends firmly believes that Princess Di is the daughter of the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. That's not true.
No.
And that's a big lie. So
no.
No. Okay. Getting back to Diana and Dodi, as they had married, as they had set up court in Paris, do you think we would be having the trouble with the Taliban that we are now having? Now, remember, Taliban is Hillary. And remember, what did they want Lady Di to do on her visit in early January?
Telling her to marry Bill Clinton.
That is correct. And
disgusting.
And this brings me up because, what's her name, Roseanne? Today she was on Oprah Winfrey. And she went back to when she quit on The View, and she told
Rosie,
you're saying the wrong one.
Rosie O'Donnell, I'm sorry. Okay. Rosie O'Donnell. Yes, and she, okay, this is what, the reason I'm going there is because this has to do with Hillary. And it has to do with the Council on Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission and a committee of 300 member. What's her name? Barbara Walters, who interviewed
what?
Barbara,
say it again.
Okay, in 1997, early January, as well as on the day when Rosie O'Donnell confronted the same woman, Barbara Walters, in both cases, remembering that all the wealthy visionaries had to sign gag orders because of her.
Yeah.
And because of Hillary.
Yeah.
And because of all the Rothschilds, and why did they stage the death of Teddy Kennedy? And why did Hillary participate in killing? Why are we reading this? Because of the Black Irish Moorish Nation coming from the Black Madonna connection that Lady Di has to being the Black Madonna daughter, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And that means Caroline and Lady Di in this lifetime were part of the experiment where all the melanin was taken out of their skin, and they are Black in origin and want to keep that out. Who else is Black? Elizabeth the First. Not Elizabeth II, Elizabeth I. We made a big jump there, and we skipped Elizabeth II, and she was just part of the experiment, and all she was used as a figurehead so that the rest of these lizards and their, you know, committee of 300 Vatican 50-foot dragon rag on the rest of the world could dance without anybody knowing it. And that was the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and actually Tavistock is what I meant to say, meaning Tavistock is under the umbrella of the Committee of 300, as is the Bilderbergers, meaning Bill Clinton is owing itself to the Committee of 300. And so is Hillary. They're both Bilderbergers.
Mm-hmm.
This is really something rotten in Denmark. And remember, there was a split by what happened in Atlantis. So on this side of the pond, when our founding fathers did everything they could to do as much as they could, plus Benjamin Franklin, there were just, I think, 35 letters that were found. And they had been written while he was sitting with the Iroquois, who were working to their confederate, and that's another Iroquois. The Iroquois ancestors are Washita.
Mm-hmm.
So what were they learning when they really have the original Declaration of Independence, which is actually the Confederacy Treaty between the nations of Iroquois, which were unifying within mother energy of Washita, their ancestors. And who else are in between their Cherokee? The Cherokee are also ancestral brothers and sisters. Actually, the Iroquois, then the Cherokee, then the Washita, in terms of how far back all of these ones go. And, oh my gosh, everybody. Okay. What realm? Okay. All right, let's go back to this. Getting back to Diana and Dodi, as they had set up court in Paris, do you think we would be having the trouble with the Taliban? Okay, who made up the Taliban program? It was something called the Carlyle Group. Who were members of the Carlyle Group? Oh, boy, oh, boy. Mm. Every single person.
James Baker III.
And Bush Sr. Mm. And Henry Kissinger. And
that guy named Karzai.
And Cardinal. He was part of a program that served because he knew about it. No, he wasn't. He's down the road. Well, Hitler's granddaughter whips things into shape with her Tony Soprano and the Vatican control and the Mossad. And Taliban. Taliban, Colorado Group. Who else? Donald Rumsfeld. Who else? Condoleezza Rice. Remembering there are two elements of Condoleezza Rice, whereby the original had been spending forever in a prison. And when they killed her the first time, the one that was here was that wasn't the original. That was already a clone of the one that still, or at the time, was still spending time in a Mississippi prison because she was caught on perjury. She had both organs, and, you know, she faked her identity in that term. And, you know, I think they examined her somewhere around the age of 14 and found out that she was a hermaphrodite. And her grammar school and her high school and her college stuff was all a program, the whole thing. And that means that she never went to school to study any of that. She was programmed with what they wanted her to know about the history, and she did not know who she was serving really. And that's why she could walk around. And remember, they took the 12 strands out of these kinds of folks, which means no problem with this love thing, because that's the codons for love. Although someone can wake it up. And how come? Even though the blood is drained and the programming went in, one can go into consciousness and superconscious states with the use of yoga and meditation and purity of heart and change the program. Override it. Jimmy Carter did that. And so did George Soros. And that is why they both passed their test. They got to visit Mother, forgiveness from Mother. And she got to keep that promise that she said that, you know, you have one last time, which Hillary had, and which all the 100,000 in those sealed indictments before they go, they get to meet with Mother before the determination after leaving the physicality realm. They get to go before Mother. How? By going over the river Styx on a barge that Anubis is escorting their souls and their whole mission and the heart. And you might say taking those things to weigh on the scale of Ma'at. Where does he hand the souls to? He hands the souls on the other side of the river Styx. Which is meaning that the souls going through the underworld, who does Anubis hand the soul and the heart to?
Lady Master Ma'at.
Who?
Where does Andrew come into this picture?
Andrew, the angel of death?
Mm-hmm.
You might say that Anubis is the angel of death.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There you go. And that is King of Egypt for real, named Muhammad Al-Fayed for real, in this lifetime for real. And he's the first cousin of King Fahad for real. And he is the King of Egypt. This is really the whole crux of the matter. That means he is in charge of taking all those souls in this lifetime, all 100,000 of them, over the river Styx. That means he was there when Hillary's soul was taken over the river Styx. He was there when she went through her underworld. He is a a jackal-headed god. And what does that mean? He's from Sirius. Anubis, the king of Egypt, has been with Ashtar, has been with the king of swords, has been with Lady Master Nada, has been to the Solar Tribunal with Lady Dai and Dota, has been to the Council of Nine with Dodi and Dodi and Dai and with Barack Obama. And before this, with his father, Malcolm X, it's all tied up on both sides. It's complete. There is a third side of this triangulation. And it was mirrored in where they put the obelisks. There is the first side, you might say, it's England. And it's located in the Tower of London, which we just got through reading about here. And remember, inside the Tower of London is where always the Black Pope has a chamber, literally. And when big deals are going to be made and things are going to be dealt with that are going to be, you know, instrumentation, when the Club of Rome, it didn't happen in the Vatican. It happened in the Tower of London, and the Queen of England was there. And she had to kiss the ring of the Black Pope, Peter Hans Kolvenbach, representing St. Peter and the Rock. You don't think they don't give those names for something. Taking over the power of the office of the Christ is impossible unless you are the office of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's coming to roost for all of them right now. So that obelisk, okay, and that represents Luciferian rip in the time-space continuum that took place when Rama was in a body as a doctor in England, and he was a member of the Order of the Golden Dawn, and Aleister Crowley invoked Lucifer into the body of the Queen of England at the time's grandson, Queen Victoria. That was 1887, everybody. Now, this was going on at the same time as in 1943. Al Bielek's father, who was what was the name of a naval hot top guy in the Navy?
Admiral.
Admiral. He was... of the Philadelphia experiment, what was the name of the ship they did that experiment?
USS Eldridge.
The USS Eldridge. That was the ship that Nikola Tesla was being forced by Hitler to create this advanced technology with his blueprints, which were these generator systems. The only thing is that he refused to cooperate after a while, because he got a little visit from Ashtar, and Ashtar said, no, you ain't going there.
You know,
I'll put you where the sun don't shine, and you stand down. And he did, and he refused to cooperate. So what happened is that the dark side took him to Area 51, and they did some heavy-duty stuff to him. You know, the ordinary routine. Let's make a few more experiments, and... you know, be good or we'll just do you, and, you know, we'll take...
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of torture going on with him from 1943 to 1947 when Ashtar came and got him. And they had enough technology, but not enough. And who was getting all this technology? It was the Rothschilds. The new kids on the block got technology after that, because the Rothschilds, they violated their agreements with Harry Truman. They did. And so Ashtar said, you're out of here. No more technology, no more nothing. And and put, and they gave technology to David Rockefeller Sr. and all the way down, and guess who? Bill Clinton knows all about it. All about it.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of that stuff, and that's why it was very dangerous what he did with his lovely arranged marriage with his wife. And this is just a major deal. What about Chelsea? You know, between those two.
Chelsea is a light among
darkness. I know. And her blood, what did they do with her? Did they do anything with her?
No.
Okay. Although we must understand that even though they say that he's a, you know, he's a Winthrop Rockefeller, what must be understood is that Mr. Winthrop was seeded from Hitler's seed bank. So now we've got the same conditions here where the seed bank of Hitler was being used, and it made Clinton a Rockefeller Hitler baby, which means it made him both a Rothschild and a Rockefeller. That is why they've been messing with this. And then they changed the records. They erased all that. They don't tell anybody that. But there is something else that's a layered look about how this is. And look what they did. They did it through the mother's bloodline, because Winthrop Rockefeller was his uncle through his mother's bloodline. This is really tricky, everyone. And they knew better. They knew they had to do it through the mother's bloodline. And they knew they had a splice and dice Rothschild in there with Rockefeller through the mother's bloodline, because that's the way they could use that person. Genius out of the intellect of, you know, he was over 200 IQ. Bill Clinton is like arguably, probably, other than Da Vinci, the most incredible IQ the planet has ever seen. Leonardo da Vinci, going over that. And the thing is that he is saving the day and has done it. And the king said no matter what in terms of the jury being out. Remember we said that Hillary went to a different place. She went to The Hague, and she was going to be executed, and she knew it when she got there. Bill went somewhere else, yet he was incarcerated, and it wasn't Bill. It was a clone of Bill, and the real Bill has been behind the scenes all the time. And, of course, the jury is out. Why? Because he was responsible on dishing out some orders for fear of Hillary, you know, doing him in, the real him in. And, you know, that Hillary was something else because she was executed. And the clone of Bill, you know, the jury is out with that one, yet the real Bill also is going to come out smelling like a rose.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll just see. We'll see. Because seasoning mercy with justice right now, there was something, even though Hannigan put it out, there was something about what are we going to do about it when it comes down to high treason?
Mm-hmm.
And are there some alternatives in this late day and age about what we're going to do about it and how we're going to deal with that? And it's going to be up to us to do that with Mother. And that's why the story is so important, that Anubis brings the soul with Isis and Osiris and Mother there too, with Isis and Osiris representing all of those of taking the Bodhisattva vow as eagles of the Ashtar command, as members of the ground crew. What did we always say for all those 6-7 years? Greetings in the light of the most radiant one, all you commanders, eagles, and angels. Okay, Commander Liger. Okay, Commander this and Commander that. and we all have other lives going on simultaneously on the ships.
We do.
We do, and the Ashtar Command is in charge of this. In spite of, and joined by those who have passed their test in any time-space continuum of all 200 million civilizations, in our civilization's development, having ground crew members, at least for the last 13,000 years, if not, there have been how many, what was the first intervention of the Ashtar Command on the ground with these Anunnaki and everything else? Below that, before that, Rama, do you know?
1933.
What?
1933.
I beg to differ majorly because you gotta go. You gotta go to secret places of the.
Tell me my bedtime story now, Tara.
You gotta go to secret places of the lion. We're talking about the story, at least in the secret places of the lion of the.
Oh, you mean like 13,000 years ago?
Yes, Lady Master.
I remember that.
I bet you.
The recent stuff I don't remember.
Right.
Well, that's very important because that was the high middle period of Atlantis.
Well, that was a trick question, I would say.
Oh, okay. Remember, there were three periods in Atlantis. And the most important one was pivotal, and it was the shortest one. And it was the first 13,000 years of that yuga of 26,826-year cycle and the second 13,000 years. So we're talking about 11,500 B.C. was where that 13,000 years ago really was.
Yeah.
Knowing that we are actually... In 2500 A.D., everybody, instead of in the 21st century. And how many is that? 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Okay, let's back up. That's 400 years in the future. So let's back up and go 400 years in the past. And what do we got? We got the 21st century.
Say what?
Terms of the fact that in 400 B.C., we were already not dead, and we had been traveling through the Pythagorean schools, and a lot of people died in short times. Alexander the Great, by the time we got to 300 B.C., he only lived to be 33, was that right, or 29?
Somewhere around that time I escaped from the great, from the crystal.
Absolutely, short lifetime.
Somewhere around that time I escaped from the amethyst crystal and was able to join the party, if you will.
Oh my God, Rama, that's more than one part of yourself in the story then.
Yeah.
Because if that's true, you got caught in that amethyst crystal for 3,000 years. That was the time at the end of at the end of the Lemurian period still, because that was in ancient Mu.
I was having to body hop because I was stuck in the crystal, having to
watch.
So
you were at, okay, I get it.
Was the crystal on Earth?
No, I get it. Listen.
The crystal was on Pangaea, and I got stuck in it after I did the duel with the
time of Atlantis, we were
starting to remember that.
Yeah, at a time of Atlantis in the first 13,000 years, we were a stellar society. Yet on the rise of Atlantis in that first 13,000 year period, about 20,000 B.C., Isis and Osiris were asked to be king and queen of Atlantis.
Yeah.
And we stepped down. We said, no, no, no. we're just going to be part of the teaching brotherhoods and sisterhoods on the planet, and we are not going to do that part.
No gods here. We're all gods.
Yeah, and I'd say that they stayed with the Shepherd Pharaoh consciousness. Let's put it that way. Shepherd Pharaoh consciousness. Now, Abraham was a Shepherd Pharaoh in this lifetime, and he had an awakening by the God Jehovah, which was the shadow God of the Old Testament. Yet he represented that you're going to have to deal with this because I'm giving you, Abraham, a new name. And your name is Abraham. Okay, I have a question, Rama. Was when Abraham was given that name, did something change about him? Because, you know, his name was also coded as when he was Abraham, he was coded as Hammurabi. And Hammurabi was a dictator and represented the dark shadow side of the Luciferian ones who had already come, you know, full circle. They were in Maldek, and they sent Maldek supernova. And they had been on Earth before they went to Maldek, and they were thrown off of Earth then, and they went to Maldek, and then they sent Maldek supernova. Then they came back to Earth. And what did these ones do? They seated themselves in the Middle East, and not just in one place. They seated themselves in Saudi Arabia. They seated themselves in ancient Sumeria. They seated themselves in Egypt, in Assyria, in Persia, in Chaldea, in what happened? Things up. Remember, the Celts' history is in Saudi Arabia, where there were white slaves, by far the worst white slavery all the way through from B.C. to A.D. And the Saudis, remember, they actually did align with the church. Through Muhammad, the church sent spears out to really, you know, you might say influence the people. Where? In the Moorish land of Morocco and Algiers and Libya, all this place in Egypt, and then across in Israel and all of the Middle East all over there. In other words, the Moors were in Turkey too, and they were in Spain too, and they were in France. They were all over Europe. Remember, you go back far enough to the Druidic times. The Druids were the giants who came from the inner earth.
From Jupiter and Saturn.
They came from Jupiter and Saturn, but they came through the inner earth and up through the portal in the North Pole. Right, Rama?
Yeah.
In other words, they came from space. Okay, Jupiter and Saturn. Tell me about Jupiter and Saturn. Did they leave their spaceship pods over there on the moons of Jupiter or Saturn and then take shuttlecraft from there to, I guess, to where? Or maybe they went with the Ashtar Command or Mother. After they left their ships. I know that Sherula and Shield, Sherula used to talk about this, that that the ships of the Telosians, they left their ships on Ganymede, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you leave yours there too?
I don't think so.
Well, and
my ship is at the Antares Arcturus midway station. Mm-hmm.
And did you get your mother called?
I woke around the pole in front of the station there.
And it's sitting there since he roiled you.
I'd say it's a relic.
Oh, that's
It's seen better days.
We're going to put it out to pasture.
This is really how it is for the Rothschilds. Their technology are relics. They're total relics, but the Rockefellers aren't.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it was going to be Clinton that was going to come out smelling like a rose. He stole the throne from the fake queen and brought the throne that was over there in England at the time of Queen Elizabeth I and brought it over here. And guess what? You know, at the time when Sir Francis over there in the 14th century, he came over here. He brought them in person over here and buried them in those Bruton vaults. The revised edition of the King James Version of the Bible. And the closest thing to that is what is written by these transcribers and people who can read the Aramaic and understand that, and the Greek and the Latin, the Living Bible paraphrased. That is the translation that has to do with Sir Francis Bacon's translation that's sitting in the Bruton vaults until this day. And that includes showing everybody that the King James original version changed something that is very naughty. They changed something that said that everybody's a divine king. Everybody's a divine queen. Not just the king. The king, which what James I did is he declared, along with the Vatican, the divine right of kings.
Well, he was doing that over in the West. Jodha Akbar the Great was doing what he was doing to wake the people up with Guru Nanak in
the Sufi villages that were on the border. Actually, those places were actually, Mama, they were actually in Pakistan. Now they're in India. And the thing, there's some of this land, Rama, right?
Yes.
And it's called Kashmir, right?
Yes.
And in Kashmir is where King Tut ascended. And King Tut was the blood of Osiris, and Osiris's child with Isis was Horus. And Horus and Hera Beth are one and the same being.
Horus
and Heru. H-E-R-U.
Thank you. I thought you said something else.
Yeah, I reconnected properly.
I was going to say, who's that joker you're talking about?
Heru. Yeah.
I'm awake and I'm paying attention, if you can believe that.
Now, Horus and Heru. This is big.
The falcon.
Horus and Heru, they were of the blood of Osiris. And that was, in terms of Rama being on the ground, he did not come to earth at the time as Osiris through birth. He came directly from the ships. And he beamed down. Remember, it was still a fifth-dimensional stellar society. And so Rama did not incarnate as Osiris. Yet what he did is he planted the seed, because this was intervention of the light kind. It was done because the first violation was by the goodly company who split off. And that was the Luciferius ones, the Anunnaki, and they fell from grace. They were no longer Elohai of the feminine goddess. They were bad boys and girls of the fallen angelic kind, of which that angel that you just so nicely brought our attention to, Lady Master, right? Yeah, okay. And This is so over, Rover, this story. Everything now is coming to its completion cycle. And where is that story that we read? Oh, gosh. Rama, where is it? I don't see it. It's okay. I'll just go on from here. We'll read that. We're going to have to read. His name again is?
Raziel.
And
it's called the Sefer Raziel Hamalek. My Hebrew isn't that good. Sorry. My pronunciation is poor.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Not that good at it either.
Okay, well, I guess it's not time. Let's go on with this now. We're going to get this all tied together. Okay, we were saying Heru. Also, Horus. Also, Rama, you've got to help me. You've got to stay up here. Right now, you've got to help me. Okay. Horus was, you might say, he was another time of Sananda Kumara at that time.
Yeah.
And an incarnation thereby. Whereby only the divine feminine was born in the physical. You see, and remember, Isis, you know, of the southwest of Australia. They were members of the Ashtar Command and they intervened in the civilization's development. And then Isis, only being the only one of the consort Osiris and Isis to incarnate, was beamed back up the ships when she had reached her age of the rite of passage. Fully trained and adept, a spiritual priestess, Isis is Isis is Isis. And it's the number 2 in the major arcana, which means it's that ray of you might say, pink in terms of the vibration. And remember, the pink in terms of the etheric, anytime you look at the colors of the rainbow, you're still going to see an aura around every single color, even in terms of the spectrum of 144 colors. As a matter of fact, I actually learned that from my friend who actually created all 144 colors mathematically and painted a huge painting where every single color was on a mandala. Exact vibration. And these are the things that somebody else we know named Sid coded every single color, every single angel, archangel, diva, whatever it goes, and number code for every single letter in the alphabet. And color, sound, vibration. And remember that spider medicine. And spider medicine it is that develops the alphabet. And she is what number? Spider. Is she
number?
Isn't she number 8?
Mm.
That's right. How do you remember that stuff?
Yes, and that is on the exact ray. Listen to this. This is on the exact ray of Lord Maitreya. Because although Lord Maitreya is the 10th incarnation of Krishna, what are we talking about here? You know, there were comparative studies authorized and agreed to between the Dalai Lama and, the Buddhist teaching, representing the Tibetan Buddhist teachings, and the Pope. They said they're going to do a comparison between the Buddha and the Christ. And Madame Blavatsky wrote about it in the Signs of Christ, along with all kinds of documents that are in that book. And what's the name of that? Agni Yoga Society. Mm-hmm. All those documents from the library that the Theosophical Society has access to in Wheaton, Illinois. Those things are talking about the Divine Feminine. All of it. And, I mean, those documents are writings of Petuni, writings of Saint Germain, writings of Joao Kuhl, writings of Melchior, writings of all the Zoroastrian writings are in there. And Annie Besant, they even talked about this. Annie Besant and Lady Master Diana was Annie Besant. She was another ensoulment of Madame Blavatsky, along with a male incarnation of Madame Blavatsky at the same time. And she was an overlap between the time when Madame Blavatsky was alive and she left her body and they did her in, the Rothschilds, and when they wanted to get rid of her, she got really sick and they gave her all kinds of. She left in 1891. They signed that Banker's Manifesto, which they weren't going to get to do as long as over her living body.
Mm-hmm.
And they had agreed, and then they had to get rid of her, and then they went for it. And at the same time, they had that old agency going, which was in the preamble, the purpose of this agency is to reduce the human population to under 2%, and whatever would be left would be their servants, completely programmed. And therefore that didn't get to happen. But anyway, so Manly P. Hall was the other incarnation along with Annie Besant. All this Theosophical stuff is just enormous, yet, of course, compromised by the Vatican. So, when Marsha Middleton, who's, she is the descendant of one of the signees of that document that is the true declaration vault. And that same person, Mr. Middleton that year, that same person, is on that document signed, and it's in that book about the Bruton vault, which I don't have in front of me right now. I can go and pull that up. This is so important, everyone. This is preparing us to have Saint Germain. Might say. Saint Germain already is on the stage, and we're telling you he's in a physical body. And he shapeshifts, he comes in and out of that body, and when people are there to meet him, he creates private meetings, both in his Washington, D.C. office, as well as his Virginia office. And Rama has sat together with a lot of people that are together with that. And I brought this one up most importantly, most recently, Joe Wilson, who told Rama in 2006 when he got back from meeting with Saint Germain, and he had gotten back first and they moved here to Santa Fe. In other words, before that, they were in San Francisco or Berkeley. And the whole family moved here. And that's another thing. Those twins that they have, identical twins, they were seven when that happened. So that means they're eight, nine, 10, 11. They're 11.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's think about that, because, you know, Lady Di's oldest boy was born in 1997. So now we got 2007.
13.
13. Okay, so here's these twins, 11. And here's Omar, 7. I mean, 13. And Inanna, that means Inanna's 11, right, Rama?
Mm-hmm.
Inanna is 11. Dorian dies. These kids are, they know each other. These kids communicate, and these people are us who have kept themselves alive. My goodness. Okay, let's go on with this because the time is going quickly. Dodi's uncle, Adnan Khashoggi, who was a friend and a partner of Gunther Rusbacher, and this is Rael and Alan reading this, or writing this. Gunther Rusbacher was Rael and Alan's husband. He was killed. And he was killed, and the person who had it ordered up was Al Gore. And Al Gore went with Gunther Rusbacher. Now you have to understand that Al Gore was born in a cemetery, undead, and I mean for real. Vampire. And again, House of Rikosi. Vampire, that means House of Rama's bloodline, of Lady Di's bloodline, of Sarah Palin's bloodline, of Jesse Jackson's bloodline, of President Bush's bloodline, of Al Sharpton's bloodline. Holy tornado, what a motley crew, excuse me. And there are good ones, and there are ones that are being challenged to walk that talk. Okay, so Gunther Rusbacher, and even says it here, and who was a friend and partner of Gunther's, who is and was, the number one arms dealer in the world, Adnan Khashoggi. Now, remember we said doing what you have to do. And even the king of Egypt had something to do with that. And who else was partners with that, Rama? Adnan Khashoggi and the king of Egypt. And who is in the wealthy visionary that was at Michael Jackson's funeral? She was in the arms dealing too?
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields, everyone. Brooke Shields is a light worker. She knows the King of Swords backwards and forwards. She also knows what Michael Jackson, you know, and the whole arranged of the clone, and that he's alive and well. All of these folks are part of the 13 families. As a matter of fact, the 13th family. And that's us. Okay, the spider people. And the spider people were blown out of the sky in the fifth dimension, as well as in the 12th dimension. That means 65 million years ago, the Anunnaki blew out of the sky. The name of the spider constellation then was Ariadne. And that was when this whole thing was in the 12th dimension. Everything, Earth and all of creation and the divine blueprint of the human form. And then in the fifth dimension again, and that gets, and then 450 billion years ago, it was 65 million. Okay, then it was 450 million years ago that the Anunnaki invaded again and created nuclear holocaust on this planet, and that's when we were in the fifth dimension. And that war was in the Orion War, was eons of time, all the way through until the last 5,000 years, which was right before Atlantis. And that means that Atlantis was the entry point of the Orion War onto the Earth plane, and it was building in the first 13,000 years of when Lemuria was in here, and Atlantis was also in here, and there was a lot of hostility going on, black magic going on. There were dungeons going on. I was the queen of the School of Disciplines and Patterns at the time of when Lilith was on the ground, too, in ancient Lemuria, and the military were all was head of the military. We're talking about in the Pleiades coming here, and that includes in Hawaii, which was and then always has been part of Atlantis, as well as ancient Lemuria. Because there was no Pacific Ocean between Hawaii. Hawaii was connected to all the way into that land of Mu. The land was all on the surface. And actually, the northern ridge mountains of ancient Mu in Hawaii, they were 4 feet above sea level. Did you know that Mount Kilauea and Mount Mauna Loa and Mount, what's the other one, Mauna Kea, all three of them are anywhere from 39 to 40,000 feet tall? It just means that all but 14,000 feet of these things, in the case of Kilauea, it's a little bit less, is underwater, and it's rooted in the floor of the ocean, sitting in the bottom of the sea. And at the time before it sank, that is true all the Pacific coastline, all the way into the continental divide, all the way into Boulder, all the way in. That means the mountains here, even here in Santa Fe, because the, not Santa Fe per se, but La Cienega, which is about 25 minutes, south of here. And if you follow the mountains here, the continental divide comes in New Mexico, in Cuba. Actually, it's pronounced Cuba, spelled Cuba. And that means that right there in Cuba, it's 10,000 feet, and that continental divide, it keeps going all the way up into Colorado, where Aspen is. That's the same continental divide. And that continental divide, you have to cross over it in order to get there from where Crestone is on the other side of the continental divide. And that's another portal. Oh, my God. Okay, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about Lemurian times and Atlantean times all together without this horrible mess. And there were 40,000-foot mountains over here until it broke down. And when it broke down, it was 10,000. That means 40,000 feet below the surface. We have stuff going down. And underneath Santa Fe, there are another 7,000 feet below and above, 7,000 feet above to that ski valley. That's 14,000 feet, exactly like Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just, and remember, 19.5 degrees when you come over here. It's in Mexico City. And that means Tecuhuacan, Temple of the Sun. And then there's another one I don't know how to pronounce. And it's on the other side. It's, you know, one is 30 miles, I think, north east of Mexico City, and that's the Temple of the Sun. and the Temple of the Moon is somewhere southeast or something. I'm not quite sure. We got to look up those maps. It's really, there's a triangulation there, too, that's connected to other triangulations all over the grid of the whole Earth. Anyway, that's the ancient Mayan, again, in Mexico. And that's step pyramids. The Temple of the Sun and the Temple of the Moon are step pyramids. And there was a disappearing act. It happened in Mexico, and it happened not just around Mexico City. Actually, the focus was in Palenque, Mexico. And Palenque, I mean, everything just disappeared for sure. And that was a place where Ashtar was there, and he was a prince. And his name was Paco Votan. And the mummy of Paco Votan used to be in the Temple of Inscriptions, which I took Micah, our son, with his dad to go and walk. Actually, this was when he was two and a half by the time we got there. And there's an echo. There's an echo. Hello? Everybody okay?
I'm there.
45 minutes. Okay.
Wait a minute. Paco Votan. Tara?
Yeah?
Are there any other lifetimes of Ashtar on Earth?
Yes, there was one time, except that he walked in as the father of Rama, you need to come up here and help. Chakra, who was Rama's brother, died on an experiment table when he was being tortured. And Jehovah was actually torturing Rama, too. Yet Rama had learned the skill because he was on the table right next to his brother, Chakra. Watched. He was
okay. Wait for a minute. Wait. Okay. I thought that was Ketartek.
You thought no. It was not. It was Tekra, and Tekra was the son of Ashtar that died on the table in Orion War,
yeah.
Right next to Rama, and Rama watched it happen.
Yeah.
And it's been a wound in Rama's heart because. What did successfully happen in that torture session is that Jehovah implanted this huge crystal in Rama's solar plexus and had him programmed. And that was his power sentence. That's when Rama was just furious, and then he went out on his ship as a pirate, and he went after his mother Asina's ship.
It's coming back to me.
Oh, my God, he was going to take Athena and the whole ship out. Athena's ship is called the Dove. The return of the Dove is only possible that the Dove doesn't get blown out of the sky. So what Ashtar had to do was reel Rama in again and say, I don't think so, and beamed him right off of his own bow of his own ship. And he was sitting in the ready room with Ashtar, and Ashtar said, you know, you're going to get it where the sun don't shine. You know? Oh, my God. Yet Rama had to do this for all of us as the son of Ashtar, representing his mission to take Ashtar's position and sit in Ashtar's chair now. So that Ashtar can go and sit on another chair. Where does Ashtar go? Does he take over Rama? Does he take over Lord Linker's chair? Is that what Ashtar does?
I'm not certain.
Well, the next time you talk to Ashtar, would you please ask him?
Yeah.
Because when he's the captain of the New Jerusalem, and why do you think the King of Swords has been working with Rama as the only one representing everybody on Earth as the children of the sun and the children of the rainbow, Rama. And he's on the wealthy visionary list. He's the last one. And the only time he receives is when it's so done, all of these guys have been arrested, and then he gets his delivery. And remember, the arrest takes place, and with the simulcast, full disclosure goes on, and the announcement of the presence of the Galactics goes on. And at the same time, the announcement of Nassar is going on. And Lady Master, not being the head of both the solar tribunal on Saturn, is on the screen with the king, with everybody else. I mean, Ramadam has been kind of on front row center here. I mean, he's been talking on TV with Tom Hartman. He's been talking with Rachel Meadows on the radio, yet on the TV with Tom Hartman, actually. Right, Rama?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, you know, since Rachel is... end up that Rama's going to be sitting on the other end of Rachel on that TV, eh, Rama?
C'est possible.
Oh,
the only reason you're getting away with that is because it's 11:30 at night on a Wednesday, Rama.
10:30 here, everyone. 10:21. Okay, I think that's enough briefing. Let's keep going here. Okay. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, it is my belief that Gunther Rusbucker's loyalty would have been to his sister's son and not to the rebel armies he supplied with weapons. We're talking about, Dodi's uncle, Adnan Khashoggi, who was a friend and partner of Gunther Rusbucker. Okay, I'm not Gunther Rusbucker. We're talking about Adnan Khashoggi, right. Is and was the number one arms dealer in the world, along with Brooke Shields and Mohammed Al-Fayed at a certain point in time. And there's a reason for that. That means he gets to witness what Adnan Khashoggi was witnessing and what really got ordered by whom. That means sitting with all the big boys and staying alive. Ooh la la. Okay. Gunther Rusbucker took, Al Gore in 1986 after, Bush Clinton crime family assassinated, Fisher and Taylor and also, which were all these notes, which has to do with taking them over. Just like they took over the $100 million note of Mr. Bergevin in 1981 when they killed Ronnie Reagan and took it away from Bono and all the wealthy visionaries. Remember, Bono and all the wealthy visionaries had collected from amongst themselves $100 million and had placed it into the rollovers. And somewhere between April 7th to 14th, which was that eight-day event where all the wealthy visionaries, together with people like me who were 5 years working with all the wealthy visionaries and all the wealthy children of the Illuminati who did not want to do this bloody mess anymore, and they were helping us. And that's why we did the World Symposium. It was the wealthy visionaries and the wealthy children and the spiritual leaders of the world and all the children of the rainbow doing the World Symposium on Humanity. And that is where 500, a half a billion organizations, grassroots, non-government organizations actually flourished. between then and now. We have a half a billion, 500 million organizations alone. Now let's think about that. How many people are in those organizations? We're talking about at least a third of the world population are actively doing something that Tom Hartman calls tag your it, participatory democracy. And Tom, I'm going to look for that on Friday. We're going to play a section where Tom Hartman actually explains that our country was called on and off over whole periods of time. A period of time it was called a democracy, and then another period of time it was called a republic. And then another period of time it was called a democratic republic. And what he said is it was all taken from the time of Greece. And their Greek parliament and their Greek everything, which means it was taken from the blacks, remember? This goes all the way back, taken from masonry, taken from the Gnostics of the church. And who were the Gnostics of the church? Yeshu and all of the, who else? Pythagoras. Who else? The Nazarene. Oh my God. Who else? The people of the goodly company all the way back to the time of Akhenaten / Moses, meaning all the true children of Israel, all of the Israelites, the ones of us who decided not to fight with the other ones of us, remembering that the house of Cain killed Abel, and that was amongst the black people in the first place, that we were all blacks in the first place. In 6,000 years ago, both over here as well as in the European continent, which was called Laurasia at a certain point of time. And when that broke apart and Asia stayed together with the part of Prussia, which is called Russia, and the other part of Prussia became Germany. And Germany stayed with the Balkan states and everything and stayed in the part of where we've got the European, Indo-European places, which is, where does that break take place? It takes place in the southern Ural Mountains, where the step pyramids of the ancient Hyperborean circle cities of the civilized Galactics were living at the time on that island, which was a complete separate thing that was connected all the way without any Atlantic Ocean. And it covered the Arctic Circle and came over here. And it had Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Iceland, the British Isles, Ireland, and even Finland, and until you got to the Russia, and that was a break there. And actually, yeah.
You just said something that triggered a memory. A very good friend of mine who's Catholic, she's in her 80s. She said to me one time, there is a question I've always had that I didn't understand. She said, I always wondered where Cain and Abel's wives came from. And I said, they came on a spaceship. And she gave me such a scalding look.
Oh, boy. Well, you know that the church covered up all the Ashtar commands visited all right through the Old Testament. And that book, Secret Places, the Lions, the Humdinger. And remember I said we're going to go look up and talk about Thutmose the Third.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the time of Lord Ketumi. It was a time before Akhenaten. Not too far before Akhenaten, but at the most crucial time of the shortest time of the three periods of Atlantis. And it was...
He was the great-great-great-grandfather of Akhenaten.
Exactly. And Queen Hatshepsut co-reigned equally, both with Thutmose II and Thutmose III. Now, the thing is that she was older than both of them. She was both of their aunts and great aunts. And Thutmose III was extremely young, and Thutmose II was extremely young. So Queen Hatshepsut reigned in an overlap, while both of them reigned until they were old enough to take the reins on their own. And so that was a landmark, because she demanded co-equality with anybody that was considering themselves a male pharaoh. Now, the people who invaded Egypt during the time of Thutmose III, it was radical. And I mean radical. It was toxic. Thutmose III, Marki, was the longest reigning pharaoh of the period, of the most important and shortest period, which is the transition period between the first 13,000 years and the second 13,000 years. And so it was about a 3,000-year period, right smack dab in the middle of this. Now, you've got to look at this. Okay, we've got something called the Age of Pisces. Well, we're in the overlap here. We're in that most important yet shortest period between the end of the entirety of the Yuga, which is right now called the Age of Pisces, and the beginnings of the seeding of the consciousness for the knowledge that's needed and required for the Age of Enlightenment, Aquarius, which is the first 2,000 years of another Yuga, which is four times longer than the other one. So we're talking about 26,826 years times four, which is a hundred and something thousand. It's off the scale. And we are here for 100,000 years of peace, and we're not going anywhere. In the first 300 years of this transition period of the Age of Enlightenment, we're setting down the template to complete and get through the whole Age of Aquarius into the end of the first 1,000 years of Ma'at, the Age of Ma'at. Okay, so that means, remember what Mother Setna did, the same thing. And remember, we're already in 2500 A.D. Do you get it? In 500 years of interlope in the Western Hemisphere with their lovely little doctrine of discovery, which I stand corrected a bunch of times, it was 1452. I kept saying 1442 for a while. I'm just going to correct it now. It's 1452, and it was 1492 when they dated the Christopher Columbus, which was merely doing the bidding of the Nazi Vatican, Black Pope, remembering that that Columbus was a different Columbus than the real, true Moor Columbus. And that Moor Columbus was a lifetime of Saint Germain, and his name was Greek, Black, Moor, Krishnaite, everything, remembering the Vedics and all of the literatures of the Veda. And the literature in Ethiopia, in Egypt, in Greece, in Rome. I mean, the mother was obliterated in Rome. What are you talking about? What mother in Rome? Okay, everybody. Let's just say there was 54 years that Thutmose III was pharaoh. I mean, that's really long. David was only pharaoh for 40 years.
David?
Yeah, King David.
Mm-hmm.
You must, okay, this is another thing. It was the same time as Pharaoh. Okay, the real David following the goodly company in Egypt, his name was Amosa the First.
Was that Saint Germain?
Exactly. It was a lifetime of Saint Germain.
How do you spell Amosa?
A-H-M-O-S-E. And
when was that? Which reign was that?
I want to say something. The golden sun of the sun disk of Ra. It was and is, in terms of a tone and a sound vibration, it's golden sunshine yellow. It's the color of Lord Kutumi's vibration, of Lady Master Mercury and that wonderful archangel, and all of this golden yellow sunshine ray, and all of the knowledge of Thoth, and all of the emerald tablets, and all of these documents from the Nakamai. These are enlightenment documents of this Amosa, remembering that is the bloodline that comes directly from Osiris of the goodly company of the blueprint of Saint Germain.
Does it say which dynasty Amosa is?
Yes, it's the 18th dynasty.
Amosa?
Yeah, and that's the corrected dynasty that needs to be corrected. That's the period of transition. Mother Sekhmet was down with all four paws on the ground. And then she stood up and she said, I don't think so. And I mean, Rama watched it back then too. Lion and rip these invaders limb from limb, helping Tutmosa on the battlefield. And remember, Tutmosa had at least 100,000 or 200,000, maybe a 500,000 army men that he was ahead of. And he was doing this stuff and keeping Mother as he 4 years. Okay, Amosa the First was a 22-year reign, and he reigned from 1580 B.C. to 1558
B.C. Oh, he was Amenhotep the First's father, which makes him the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Akhenaten.
Yes, Akhenaten was from 1447. He was actually born, I'm sorry, Akhenaten was born in 1408 B.C., son of Amenhotep III and Queen Ti, married to Nefertiti, daughter of Priest Aya, and Priest Aya was Nefertiti's father, by the way. In 1387 B.C., and he was co-regent with his father.
Okay, but Ahara?
What?
Amosa, you had a lifetime as his daughter. Your lifetime then was his daughter.
No. I had a lifetime as Akhenaten's daughter. I had a lifetime as Rama being my father, as Akhenaten Moses.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm saying you also had a lifetime as Amosa's daughter.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, goody.
His first daughter. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, now that's really interesting because
I thought so too.
Okay, now wait a minute. Amosa the First. Let me just give you this. Amosa the First was the first pharaoh of the 18th dynasty, which is the beginning of the end for the dark segment, was down on the ground. And she was there for 3,000 years. And okay, so 1580 to 1529 BC, Amosa the First. Now let me just jump just for a minute. The true corrected chronology for David, King David, which is fake in the Hebrew accepted Israel biblical chronology, totally 500 years wrongo in the Congo here. Okay, Amosa and David in the corrected chronology started their reign at the same identical time. They were contemporaries. Boy, does that ever change the whole Bible. Let's look at that. And that means David was from 1580, same time as Amosa the First. Only David reigned for 40 years. 1580 to 1540, and Amosa the First was 1580 to 1558 BC, only 22 years. So that means that the next pharaoh was going to pick it up, and still David would still be pharaoh. I mean, that is Amosa the First. And then picking up and still being king, well, Amunhotep the First came and took over the pharaohship from 1558 to 1545, which is 13 more years. David is still king, and then in 1545, and so for five more reign, David was still king. Now, most of the first reigned for 31 years, which means that for the next, let's see, we said 31 years and take away five, so for 26 of those years, Solomon was king, because Solomon followed David in at 1540 BC and was there for 39 years, all the way to the end of the reign of Thutmose the Second, which was exactly the same. Solomon, 1501 BC, and Thutmose. Pretty awesome. When we get this right, all the stellar help, and didn't tell it until we go in with Nerhunt.
Oh, I think we're going to have to go here soon.
Not until 11. Is it okay, Commander Beth and Don? How long do we got? Give us a time frame. Oh, my furred whiskers.
It reminds me of when I told Don, you know, if nobody was here, we would still be talking about all this stuff.
Okay, now listen to this.
We gotta go.
No, wait a minute. Listen to this. This is called New Chronological Arrangement of Dates According to Ancient Manuscripts Continued. To Solomon. And, Okay, wait a minute. This is so good, everyone. I think we're just gonna stay here for now because this is too good. What, you know, okay, Rama?
You got 14 minutes.
Okay, we have 14 minutes. We're going to finish right here, and we'll continue everything we didn't finish tonight on Friday, everyone. But, okay, here we go. This is really cool. Everybody ready? Brace yourself.
I'm bracing.
Okay, 1580 BC, David becomes king of Judah with his capital in Hebron.
Hebron.
He is 30 years old. Amosa the First becomes king of Egypt. He is 20 years old. Okay, David becomes king. He's 30
and Amosa is Tulenti. And then in 1573, David becomes king of all Israel. Okay, so he was king for the first part. From 1580 to 1573, he was king only of Judah. And then in 1573, he became king of all of Israel. Holy cow.
Oh. What does it say there about Jesse?
Jesse who?
Father of David.
I'm not quite sure I understand.
Well, in the Bible, they talk about the root of Jesse being the father of David, and that's how they follow the bloodline going back to Jesus.
Okay, I don't know. Let me see if it's in. You know, we're going to have to look that up on Google. We're going to have to look up in House of Jesse, House of David. You know, you have to go back and see what you come up with, and then you can tell, because it's not in Secret Places of the Line. It starts with David. So that's a very good one. You go and check that out, Lady Master. Okay. Okay, 1560. David and Joab, J-O-A-B, in Edom, E-D-O-M, and that's the Moabites, Edom.
Moabite.
Those are the true Israelites. Hadad. Okay, and Joab in Edom. Hadad. David and Joab in Edom and Hadad, 5 years old, flee to Egypt. The first is now co-regent with Amunhotep the first in 1560 BC. This is really fleshing stuff out. That means a lot of stuff happened here. This is where the goodly company had to flee from Israel. Even David, in 1560, they flee to Egypt? That is big. That's where the whole thing was covered up. Because it said David became king of Israel in 1573, and by 1560, he was a refugee in Exodus.
Mm.
And, oh, my God, that's really interesting.
It is.
When you find out about Jesse, that's going to be a big number. You've got to go all the way back to, okay, 1545 B.C., Hadad, now 20, marries his sister, 15, of Queen Taphines, T-A-H, P-E-N-E-S. Wow. Okay, this is all going on. Okay, Amosa the first, 55 years old, at the same moment in time, in Egypt, is still, you know, the king or the pharaoh in Egypt. Queen Taphines, 40 years old, is also with him at that time for some reason. And Hadad had married Queen Taphines, and it's saying Queen Taphines 40 years old at the time. Holy cow. Hadad is 15 and Queen Taphines is 40 and they got married. Holy cow.
That wouldn't work today.
That is a huge number there. Okay, death of Amunhotep the first occurs in let's see, death of Amunhotep the first. I'm sorry, death of Amunhotep the first. Holy cow, that means Amosa lasted longer than Amunhotep the first. You want to know why? You might say that the Amon priesthood had something to do with the killing going on and the death, and, you know, a death isn't never a death with the dark side. So we'll have to study that a little more. Tutmosis the First, now co-regent with Tutmosis the First. Okay, then in 1540 BC, David dies at the age of 70. And 1540 BC for the first time. Hadad is now. How did that happen? It said Queen Taphni, Taphi, 40 years old, married Hadad. Oh, okay. Then David came. Okay, David's still around. I see. David's still around, whereby Queen Taphi, okay, David was 5 in 15. He was 25. David was 25, right? And Hadad was 15 and married to a 40-year-old Queen Taphi. And then in 1540, David, let's see, Hadad was 25 and David died at 70. Oh, okay. And then Hadad was 25. And it said at that time his wife was just 20 still, and yet. Okay.
I wonder who Hadad is in other lifetimes.
Huh?
I wonder who Hadad is in other lifetimes.
Let me see if I can see that here. Well, it's 10:51. We've got until 11. So what song do you want to play for us, Commander? And don't we want to, okay, what song do we want to play? Okay, now wait a minute. Hadad, you said, right?
Yes, please. I'm,
okay. You know, we're all being archived now. This is really good to find out exactly where they covered it up way back then. Hadad, oh, are you ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. Oh, my God.
I know it's something big because I got a big grok, and so if you don't say nothing, yell.
Hadad was Tutankhamun.
I knew it, and I know who that is.
All right, now wait a minute. I'm going to look this up just a minute. This is really wild.
Just who Tutankhamun is.
And I'm going to tell you that Yeshu was Tutankhamun, which means Yeshu was also Hadad.
It's not Yeshu.
Huh?
It's not Yeshu.
What do you mean it's not Yeshu?
Right, Rama?
No, it is Yeshu. Yeshu had 9 strands of DNA at the time, and he merged his soul with Sananda Kumara as the middle Christ at the time. Remember
okay, that I will buy into, yes.
Yes. At the time of, okay, let's go to Tutankhamun. Okay. Tutankhamun or Tutankhaton. Tutankhaton. Now, Haton. Now you have Hadad and now you got Haton. And it was changed to Amun, A-M-U-N, from A-T-O-N. The Atone priesthood.
Okay, so Hadad was Yeshu and who else did you say? Tutankhamun. Anybody else?
I'm going to tell you in just a minute.
Okay. I hate when this happens.
Okay. Okay, now listen. So Tutankhamun, when he changed his name, he was a double agent. In other words, he was forced to behave and keep it secret like he was the dark priesthood when he was the light, and Akhenaten helped him escape because Akhenaten was in charge of the first exodus, the second exodus. And the second exodus was done during the time of Akhenaten. And the first exodus was actually during done during the time of Horemheb, whereby the time of Horemheb is not discussed properly except in this book.
I have full recall of that.
All they do is they say there were four Akhenatens, meaning there were four periods of Akhenaten, and they just want to keep all that secret. The first period of Akhenaten was Akhenaten. The second period was Aya, which was 1 year only. And Aya was at the time, let's see, first it was Akhenaten, then it was Tutankhamun, except that Tutankhaton, he was only 19 when it was appearing that he got poisoned on a hunting mission.
I know, I've read this book 3 times if I read it once.
Okay, so
I know this book forwards, backwards, and I have full recall of that lifetime.
Okay, now what you need to understand about this is that we knew how to clone one another. And the way that we did it is we cloned each other, and we left the clone to be killed. Exactly like now.
Right, because really horrible things were happening then, really bad things.
Which meant that Sananda stayed alive and well, Osiris stayed alive and well, Horus stayed alive and well, or Heru, or Khatumi. Remember, another lifetime of Khatumi was Heru.
Okay. You gotta tell me, who was Joseph then? Because that's the missing piece of the puzzle.
So hold on. Hold your hat on. You'll get it. Let's go. Stay right here. Okay. Okay. Tutankhaton. Or,
wait a minute.
No, don't listen to this. This is just so outrageous. Or, now there's a third name. You know, Tutankhamun and Tutankhaton. Is very familiar, yet you didn't hear this one. It's called Neb, N-E-B, hyphen. And that means South America, and South America and Africa and Antarctica and India were all one piece, never separated. And all of that land was farther south, to the extent that the southern tip of Africa had ice fields on it, which means that South Africa, back far enough, was icy cold. Holy cow. Okay. Anyway, that's Neb. Keperu Ray, R-E. Another way, the whole thing was, quote, unquote, raw tut, was another name for this. 1360 to 1350, 10 years. He was born in 1370, so he was 10 years pharaoh, king, from the time he was 10, until the time he was 20, and that was it. And he was the boy king of the 18th dynasty, and in his 19th year, he was poisoned, and it took a while, but he died. And
he was going in and out of the stargates through that pyramid and the Giza Plateau back then.
Okay, now that was a different piece. Tutankhamun, of the bloodline of Osiris, meaning of the bloodline of Horus, Heru, never died. Son of Nut, this is, no, excuse me, I'm sorry, the son of Osiris in both cases, I'm sorry, but his mother was different. Okay, there was another one. His name was Set. S-E-T. And the Seth books, the Seth, that is talking about the same one, Set.
Yep.
Seth, S-E-T-H, and S-E-T is all going back to Egypt because an H wasn't pronounced in the Egyptian pronunciation.
And we have a friend, Seth, here, too.
And Tutankhamun is part of South America and part of the Inca, which means that they're one and the same being, and Sananda Kumara is...
And that brings in Pocahontas.
Okay, it's 11 o'clock. We're done. We have fighting mass.
Oh, you're not going to tell me who Joseph was.
Well, I mean, it's got to be with permission because we were told we only had 14 minutes, Seth. hey, Seth.
Tara, Seth's not the problem. Me and Rama want to go to bed.
Except that, you know, Seth is after the house of Seth. His name, isn't that funny? Oh. I love to go to bed. Okay. All right. Okay, Rama, you got to take. Okay, we got to take us out with a beautiful song. Is that okay, Commander?
Well, let's do a Betty Bye song.
A Betty Bye.
No, Mike Bronte.
Okay, he's smiling. Okay, Betty Bye. Rama's gonna play Imagine. I am all for it. It makes me cry.
Thank you, Tara. I'll be calling you in a few minutes to find out who Joseph was. I'm just kidding.
And I mean, tell you what. Thank you, everyone. It's time for 777. You better know what that is. It's Osiris and everybody ever since 777 Saint Germain. All the children go to heaven. There we go.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
All the way up. The sound on this thing, too. Yeah, all the way up. Okay, it's really quiet. They're walking with the birds. You can hear them if you're listening.
Oh. Mm-hmm.